Get ready for two guys who can handle the truth.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
But we can. Dave Palumbo, John Romano. RxMuscle.com presents Heavy Muscle Radio. This hour of Heavy Muscle Radio is brought to you by ALR Industries. Visit ALRIndustries.com.
Welcome to another episode of Heavy Muscle Radio. My name is Dave Palumbo, and I'm here with my co-host, compatriot in crime, John Romano. We're here in the studio, and we have a lot of special guests ready for the show tonight. John, this past weekend was the Bros vs. Pros 3 squad off, and I have to say it was one of the most enjoyable weekends that I've had recently.
It was definitely enjoyable, and I think one of the most amazing aspects of it was the 500 people that showed up to watch the damn thing.
Thousands of people were there.
Like the house, throngs of people.
At the World Gym Ronkonkoma, thanks to those guys over there for sponsoring our event, along with obviously Brutal Alchemy,
right,
who put up the majority of the funds. This is becoming a fixture here on Long Island, and people, it's an event almost. People are coming down from Pennsylvania,
Connecticut.
They're coming down from Connecticut, the Bronx, Westchester,
Boston.
There was a couple people who traveled quite a distance. I can't even remember where they were from. One of the girls, I think, was from like Maryland or something like that.
They're driving in.
This is let's face it. Okay, let's call a spade here. We're putting up money.
That's right.
$2,000 is not a little bit of money. I mean, John De La Rosa came all the way from Westchester, New York. He's the junior national champion from last year. I didn't even know he was coming. He brought his father and all his buddies with him. Because he told me, I want to win $2,000. Yeah. No one else is offering $2,000. Muscle Development's not offering $2,000.
No.
Flex Magazine's not offering $2,000 to the average guy, who trains in the gym hard.
Well, they will now after they hear this.
Well, I don't know. I don't think they will because, we're the innovators, not the imitators.
That's right. We're the originators, not the imitators.
That's right. That's right.
Now, another interesting thing about it is that I'm thinking it's going to have to happen due to the exponential growth in this whole thing is that we're going to have to hold this in a venue because there was just way too many people in the gym. There were 500 people there.
Well, yeah, I know. But I think right now, it's I like the intimate atmosphere. And World Gym, Ronkonkoma is putting up the money to have us be there. They put another bid in for the next challenge.
Oh, they
ready.
Did already? I didn't
yes,
know,
they
no
did.
One told me that.
Unless someone else steps up to the plate with more, then we're going to be holding it there again. We haven't decided exactly what it's going to be, but it looks like it might be the deadlift. Probably by the time this radio show is up on Monday night, I will have the video up so that people can see what happened. And I had a couple little surprise endings, and a couple of pros showed up. Ben White came out of nowhere, all the way down from Albany. Obviously, Jose Raymond is a pro, and he was in the challenges with as well as Nicole Ball. Colette Nelson showed up, to my surprise. And,
how he just brushes over that.
Well, she's an IFBB prom. I'm throwing in the stats there. Jimmy Plechik missed the whole challenge, but he did show up at the end.
Yep.
Diego was there acting as... Diego A and B were there.
Yes.
Right.
Now, I have to ask Diego A, because Diego B's not here. Diego A was given a simple job of spotting.
In other words, wait a second. We gave the two most important and dangerous jobs to the two lowest guys on the totem pole.
Fuck you, fucking hate
Nick,
obviously.
Nick the Stick and Diego A.
Yes.
Diego B, sorry.
Same shit.
We're the spotters.
Okay. Right,
on each side of the bar.
On each side of the bar.
Yes, we'll spot the spots on your head.
But they were supposed to be spotting the weight, and not they were supposed to be spotting things in the
weight.
In the universe.
Let's preface what first of all, Nick the Stick was late because
he was gelling his hair.
He was in the shower.
Time.
And the reason I know he was in the shower was because his parents were there and they told me he was in the shower. and he bought this new pair of Gucci sunglasses, which he probably spent.
Dolce and Gabbana, please.
Dolce and Gabbana. He must have spent at least 50% of what we pay him a month on this,
spent,
on this
what,
pair of glasses.
$200 or $400?
$200 on these glasses. And
he wears them at night.
He wears them 24/7.
So he doesn't lose them.
Well, no,
the retards do that at the home. They wear all their shit so no one steals it.
I wear my sunglasses at night
He says why you drive by and they're like in the middle of the summer and they're wearing parkas.
I think
they don't want anybody to steal their shit.
I think it's just the most it's the most expensive thing he owns, so he wants to keep it. So anyway, so he shows up late, with the sunglasses on his head, the hair gelled. Although I have to admit, his hair is looking a little more stylish lately. He's going for that, like, the blowout look, right?
Well, Dave, I don't know if you remember that when you had hair, but you used to do that stuff. So.
Yeah, that's his comeback, yeah. You know, when you comment about his hair. Well, at least I have hair.
Right,
you know?
Right.
But not really, because it's mostly gel.
Well, and he's 18. He better have hair at 18.
Really. Not like somebody else we know who lost their hair when they were, like, 21.
Hey, fuck you, you fucking hater. You don't fucking do it all, you fucking guys.
How do you know I was talking about you?
Oh, fuck you. Who are you talking about? Your fucking brother?
As far as I
know,
fucking
you scumbag, fucking giddy wannabe prick. Fuck. Fuck you.
As far as I know, you got a full head of hair.
I regrew it.
You look like you got hair to me.
Well, so Nick was spotting on one side of the bar, and we put Diego B on the other side of the bar.
Yes.
And I gave Diego some simple instructions. I said, don't touch the bar unless the person is going to fall down and kill themselves. And then in which case, I want you to grab the bar with Nick, and you're going to take it off the person so no one gets hurt. So which girl was it? The girl did...
Bonnie Pappas.
Was it Bonnie?
Yeah.
Bonnie is doing her reps. She's on like 40.
Right.
And she stumbles. And Diego is fucking staring at Nicole Ball's ass warming up across the gym.
He's quite an ass, Dave.
He doesn't see anything that's going on, and Bonnie almost like crumbled.
If you ever saw a very healthy donkey, it looks like this, but more ripped.
So basically, he didn't even do his job. He fucked up the one
fucked
time.
Fucked up everything, and nor did he bring any food. Yeah, so, but, like I said, we entrusted the most important job to the two lowest guys on the two least capable in our entire group.
That's true. Now, right. Maurice Guida, who was in the last challenge, he was there spotting from behind, so he was doing a good job.
But he only spotted the men.
Right, yeah. Right, right. But yeah, I know.
We should have had
a woman.
Note to ourselves, we need to employ competent spotters who actually know how to spot the next time we hold one of these things.
Yeah. Now, Glenn Russo, who's a pretty well-established power lifter, was the judge for the women. He was in the men's competition, so we couldn't let him do it. So Izzy, who was the scorekeeper, and I kind of did the jobs as the official there. Now, obviously, we've been beating around the bush. I think people know by now, but the men's competition was won by Jose Raymond. Now, it was a great actual victory in a sense, because Juan Diesel, who was his challenger, did 27 reps, as did Kevin Kevin Vu, who's also known as what on the board, Jeff?
Abomination.
Now, Kevin Vu actually squatted with no shoes on, John.
Yeah, I saw that.
And
holy shit.
I saw Nicole Ball doing cardio with no shoes on.
Oh, really?
I saw a girl do with no panties.
Now, I don't know if that helped him or hurt him. I don't know if he was showing off or is that just the way he squats, but I think he could have maybe done more if he would have had shoes on.
I see guys squatting barefooted a lot.
You
actually
do?
Yeah, there's a strongman that competes in the big strongman shows that does his lifts barefoot.
Really?
He wears those big striped socks and a kilt.
You get no ankle support. It's just, I don't know. I was impressed that he was doing 405 for reps of that, and he did some really good reps too.
You know, the most impressive one on the 405 was this little Hispanic dude. I don't know what his name was. He looked like he weighed about 135.
Yeah,
I thought he was gonna. There was one guy that got in there in the beginning, the first guy to go,
guy who crumbled,
the guy who ripped his knee to pieces. We heard it across the gym.
He didn't even make one rep.
He collapsed. But this other guy came in, and I go, oh no! I told Maurice, but you better get ready to catch this guy because he's going down. Freaking guy did like 8 reps.
Oh, he's a board member.
Impressed. Yeah, it was incredible.
That would be Flaccid Member.
Flaccid Member.
Is that who that was?
Yes.
Is that really who that was?
Yes, it was.
Matter of fact, rumor has it that he posted all the videos already on the
RX. Well, he posted a lot of pictures.
Yeah, he took pictures.
Oh, yeah, he took a lot of
pictures. I was really impressed with
that.
Yeah,
he did. Remember I was pushing him out of the way? I was trying to
he was trying to do video?
Remember that was going like
I didn't know that he was doing video. I thought he was taking pictures, that little scumbag. I'm going to fucking kick. He was buddying up to me, telling him to kick his ass. But I got to ask you this one question, John, because this is what blows my mind. We're doing a competition for who can do the most reps with 405. So that assumes that you can do probably...
At least one.
Probably at least 10, because you see everyone on the board posting videos of guys doing 20 and 30 reps. This guy couldn't even do one, okay? He couldn't do one rep, and he got under the bar and crumbled. Now, Rob Rink, who works for me, his son Robbie, who's 14, who was there, 15, did 10 reps. So, I mean, what was this kid thinking?
Maybe he thought the crowd was was going to, you know, energize him or something. I don't know. But, you know, not for nothing, but when he went down that first time,
I got nervous.
I heard, I swear to God, I heard tendon snapping
really?
Connective tissue popping.
I hope he didn't get hurt.
There's no way your knee makes a noise like that. It cocked in and towards the other knee as he went down.
Yeah.
And I heard it, man. And there's no way that that kid is not feeling no pain today.
Crazy. Well, Jose Raymond, you know, don't forget he's 3 weeks out from the Orlando pro show. And he, the guy looks great. You know, he came here. He actually got up in the morning and did cardio. He did the Stairmaster
for an hour.
You know, he got there. He had to go last. It was a long, he had to wait 3 hours to go for his squats. And he knew he had 27 to beat, and he banged out 30. He could have done 28 and stopped. And, you know, that's the sign of a champion, and he won $2,000.
You know, I think what's most, you know, incredible about that is to be 3 weeks out from a show. Mostly when you're 3 weeks out from a show, you're dead.
Yeah.
You know, for him to sit to come in and do 30 reps with 405 3 weeks out from a show, I'm wondering what this guy can do when he's fat and
happy. That's what he said. He said, get me in the offseason.
So yeah, he'd probably do 50.
I think we're going to have a rematch on that one because the kid who originally was supposed to do it against him, Daniel Connor from Florida, who claims he can do 40 reps or maybe more, maybe up to 50. He's healing up a little hamstring pull, so he wants to do it again. And he has a sponsor that might put up some money as well. So I don't mind holding a rematch on this one because I enjoyed this one. This is the most enjoyable one yet.
I enjoyed it too. And, you know, I think this thing could ostensibly grow into some kind of, you know, event that we could hold, you know, a little bit more convincingly for more people to get involved with. Remember the women's extravaganzas they used to have when they had those events?
Yeah.
They had an obstacle course and they had to hold the battery up in front of you and all.
Right, right.
But I mean, if we had a couple of different events, maybe one or two lifts,
two
you have a strength event, an endurance event,
right,
and kind of combine it and, you know, open it to bros, pros, and all comers.
Maybe we could do a live feed or something like that. You know,
I think we could make a lot of money off this thing. I think we're onto something here.
So we'll have Aaron Singer.
We're gonna get that Jewish gene side of you.
We're gonna get Aaron involved with this.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea.
Now we got Aaron. See, we can contend the Jewish contingent, and we can make this a business.
That's true. Well, we're gonna get to. Well, we have Aaron on the show later.
Yes.
We have Nicole Ball in the studio a little later too. We're gonna get to them in a little bit. But in the women's event, you know, everyone was predicting Nicole Ball was gonna win this thing, and
they just said that because she's so hot.
Maybe that's what it was. But you know, Nicole put up about 47 reps, and Bonnie Pappas put up about 45 reps, even though she almost fell. And surprise of the event was Karen Gatto out of Bev Francis Powerhouse Gym showed up. And I didn't think she was going to do 15 reps, and she pulls out 51 reps.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
That I thought that was really the story of the day because, you know, the prior, you know, we first started this as bros versus pros.
Right.
Now that we've opened it up to all comers, how cool is it that you can just walk in off the street and sign up for this thing that day and walk away with a grand.
Yeah, she's a real bro. I mean, in that sense. So she wins it.
Bro-ette.
Now it's, if you think about it, the bros have won twice.
Right, 2-2.
Jeff won once in the bicep curl against Liberatore, and then Karen won now. And then we have two pro champions, Ben White in the bench press, and then Jose Raymond in the squat. So, you know, it's good. It's one.
Yeah.
It's 2-2, and the next event, we're going to break the tie. And we're going to talk about this a little bit further when we get our guests on the show. Mm-hmm. We're both at the event.
Right.
I want to talk about one more thing before we go. Actually, you know what? Maybe I'll save this because Aaron will probably like hearing about this. But let me just give some results from this past weekend at the 2010 Muscle Contest Pro Bikini Competition held by John Lindsay, even though we weren't allowed to take any pictures there. I think Flex Magazine had somewhat of an exclusive on this.
Exclusive.
I don't know who would want an exclusive on the bikini event, but, you know, c'est la vie, whatever, you know, whatever works.
Well, we know somebody who would want an exclusive on the men's event.
Yes, definitely. We know who definitely wouldn't want an exclusive on the women's event. That's for sure.
Especially when they hold a men's glute contest.
Well, let me give the results. Sonia Gonzalez, who is obviously a very good pro figure competitor, has dropped back to bikini. This is her second win in a row, I believe. This is her first. This is her first win, and she will qualify for the Bikini Olympia. John, can you believe they're gonna have a Bikini Olympia this year?
Yes, I am astounded that has actually happened in my lifetime.
And
most beer tub girls now have delusions of pro cards dancing in their heads.
Yeah, well, I mean, if Sonia Gonzalez is a figure competitor and has dropped down the bikini, obviously they're still looking for somewhat of.
Don't you think that should be a criteria that you had to have been like a figure competitor before you can do bikini?
Listen, they got like this is bikini has become toned down figure.
Basically,
so why don't they have a toned down bodybuilding?
Well, figures toned down bodybuilding.
No, it isn't.
It
no,
is
it's
so.
Not. No, it's not. No, it's not.
Figure is toned down bodybuilding.
No, it's not. It's
Dave, this, look at Rachel McGlish, Miss Olympia.
But that was 30 years ago.
It's toned down.
No.
What is there, a time limit on toning?
No, Rachel McGlish was still too hard for the figure competitors of today. They've made the figure competitors even softer and smoother. Now, look at who's the Olympia champ.
Yeah, Nicole Wilkins-Lee.
She doesn't have, she's just got a nice shape, you know? She could actually
minus the upper body.
Yeah. Well, Monique Minton took second, and Amanda Latonin was third, so those girls will qualify for the first Miss Bikini Olympia come September.
I can't wait.
In New Zealand, I think we announced the results in New Zealand. I didn't have the full results, though. In New Zealand, Heather Mae French won the women's pro figure.
Now that's a competitor.
Yes,
right there.
Rosa Maria Romero was second, and I'm not sure who was third. I don't know what her name
is. Can you imagine Heather Mae French and Nicole Ball? Oh, wait a minute. That was the species booth. Yeah, never mind.
Yeah. We got them together already.
We already had that.
We
got
to get them naked together. No.
Well, that would be a species booth.
That would be some booth. That might qualify for the after party.
Yeah, we
were at. Yeah, last night.
I could picture that hanging from a cage in a club. That'd be kind of cool.
Let's go to our first commercial breakdown. When we come back, I'm going to get our first guest in here, and then I'm going to save all the news items to go over with them because they're fun to talk about.
That'll be fun.
All right, we'll be back.
ALR Industries products are backed by 3 decades of experience in the science and lifelong dedication to bodybuilding from its founder, Arthur L. Ray. In 2001, ALR Industries was created to give the hardcore bodybuilder the edge you need to build the perfect beast. Hyperdrive 3.0 is a synergistic blend of fat-burning herbs which yields the most potent legally available formula on the market today. Hyperdrive 3.0 will burn fat, control your appetite, improve your mood and focus, and give you an energy boost you've never experienced. Restore blocks estrogen, enhances libido, and optimizes free testosterone. You'll be stronger, recover faster, and build muscle like never before. Then, fuel your workouts with the great-tasting and energy-enhancing Hyper Shot. Hyper Shot will boost your athletic performance to new levels, allowing you to train harder, improve your endurance, and get the most out of your time in the gym. Whining is not an option for those who refuse to accept mediocrity. Visit ALRIndustries.com today.
When you hit the gym, you set in motion a fundamental set of molecular activation signals and cellular growth mechanisms that deliver your desired gains in mass and strength. The magnitude of those processes, as well as how efficiently your muscles recover force production, can dramatically affect your net progress in a training cycle. Progenics protein supplements interact precisely and powerfully to amplify these pathways to produce enhanced growth responses of 100% or more compared to conventional whey protein sources. And they facilitate full recovery of force production in just 6 hours following the most grueling workout, allowing you to train harder, more frequently, for more dramatic gains. Experience the exclusive metabolic advantage available from Nature's Toolbox and Dr. Scott Connolly, renowned pioneer in applied dairy science and inventor of the original Metrex product. Go to ProgenicsSRG.com and use the code NBR801 to get 10% off the purchase of any single Progenics product.
When the world crumbles around you, will you be ready to fight back? Brutal Alchemy Performance Nutrition's unique line of supplements will help you win the war in the gym. Ancient Strength is a unique blend of 3 creatine esters which will infuse you with the ancient strength needed for the battle at hand. Isolation is a pure whey protein isolate that provides 26 grams of protein in every 29 gram scoop. Attack NO2 is Brutal Alchemy's nitric oxide booster that will increase your pumps and performance. After your battle in the gym, it's time for Onslaught, Brutal Alchemy's comprehensive post-workout drink, providing everything you need to suffuse your muscles, joints, and body with the components to heal, grow stronger, and return to the fray. And when it's time to conquer in the bedroom, you'll need Forged Steel, Brutal Alchemy's male enhancement product. Lead the charge to BrutalAlchemy.com to obtain the essential elements of your brutal transformation. Brutal Alchemy, it's better to be a member of the Horde than to be destroyed by it. RxMuscle.com introduces the cheapest and fastest growing discount supplement store on the net. DiscountSupplements.com. DiscountSupplements.com not only has the best prices on all of the industry's most popular products, but they also offer next day delivery for just $7.99. You heard right. For a flat fee of just $7.99, most orders arrive the next day at a price that simply cannot be beat. As a matter of fact, their prices and service are so good, we made them the official store for RxMuscle.com. If you have
haven't visited DiscountSupplements.com, what are you waiting for? Visit DiscountSupplements.com today.
Build serious muscle now. G-A-T. Get huge and stay lean. G-A-T. Achieve total muscle domination. Pump up and shred down with four great G-A-T products. Pre-workout Jet Fuse NOX. For insane strength and psychotic workouts, use Jet Fuse before attacking the weights. Post-workout Jet Mass. After training, use Jet Mass's muscle volumizing German creatine with HGH boosters and branched chain aminos to repair and recover. Premium protein, Muscle Teen. Muscle Teen has 45 grams of extended-release protein to rebuild muscle tissue during and after training. Shred and burn in your Jet Fuel Pyro. Use Jet Fuel Pyro, the number one feel-good fat burner, to help you feel great as you burn fat faster and easier. Find these GAT products at retailers worldwide or go to our website at teamgat.com. That's TEAMGAT.com.
Plasmatic is the next generation of nitric oxide amplifiers. Plasmatic contains the clinically proven glycocarn and other exclusive cofactors to give you a better pump, extreme vascularity, and aid in both performance and recovery. Plasmatic is the only next generation nitric oxide amplifier that contains no L-arginine. Plasmatic's proprietary blend is manufactured using a state-of-the-art liquid capsule technology and lipomatic delivery. See Plasmatic today at your local vitamin shop or call us now at 866-GET-EST-1 or visit us on the web at estnutrition.com. Plasmatic, results guaranteed.
Flashpoint, the world's first sublingual fat burner. Flashpoint will change the way you look at fat burners forever. That's because traditional pills, capsules, and even liquid caps are broken down in your stomach, taking over 23 minutes to start working. But now, Isatori Technologies has engineered a fat burner that completely bypasses the stomach. Flashpoint melt tabs are absorbed right through the sublingual and buccal glands in your mouth. With Flashpoint, you'll start feeling its effects within 33 seconds. 33 seconds. Now that's fast and as hardcore as it gets. Visit IsatoriTech.com or GNC to start feeling fat burning in 33 seconds with Flashpoint.
Who are the Iron Sirens? The heroes. Susie Curry. Adela Garcia. Jenny Lynn. Crystal Richardson. Who are the Dark Divas? Gina Aliotti as Diva X. Jen Gates as Shade. Liza Kamstra as Black Lotus. Sonia Gonzalez as Raptress. And their story is told only in Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens is a one-of-a-kind limited edition comic book series and is the brainchild of J.M. Mannion. Order your copy of Iron Sirens today before they're gone. Visit IronSirensComics.com. That's IronSirensComics.com to get your copy of Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens.
RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up-to-the-minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com.
Heavy Muscle Radio.
Hi, this is Lou Ferrigno of Incredible Hulk. You are listening to Heavy Muscle Radio with John Romano and Dave Colombo. And keep listening, the best show on the air.
This hour of Heavy Muscle Radio is brought to you by Progenix. Visit ProgenixSRG.com.
Welcome back to Heavy Muscle Radio. I'm John Romano. I'm sitting here with my co-host, Dave Colombo. And Dave, I think it's about time we introduced our first guest. He is the co-host of Off Topic Radio, the Skype Meister himself, Aaron. Super Jew Singerman, welcome to the show.
Super Jew, I like that.
Well, it's either Bear Jew or Super Jew. I don't know.
I like Super Jew. You prefer Super Jew over Bear Jew?
Yeah, I do. Well, yeah. Bear Jew has that kind of gay connotation.
No, that would be like, Jew Bear.
Oh, Jew Bear.
I have to correct people.
Yes, okay.
Definitely not.
No, at least, long as you know where you stand in the hierarchy of things.
Actually, Amy made me a tank top that says the bear,
right,
and then overlaid the bear. bear is the Star of David.
What's the whole bear thing? I don't get
the bear Jew thing.
Yeah, what is that?
Carl made it up. You've never seen the movie Inglourious Bastards?
Yes.
Oh, it's a fucking great movie, Aaron. I remember when you told me about that one. The bear Jew is right in front of me. It's fantastic.
So it has nothing to do with those, you know, gay guys that have all that chest hair?
No.
You're not a bear. You shave.
No, although if I don't shave, I am very hairy.
Yeah, we all are.
Now, Jeff was sporting kind of the similar look to you this past weekend.
Yeah, actually, I looked exactly like Aaron. I could have been, sorry, I'm on Skype. He's actually in the studio today. So it's
although Aaron is kind of sporting that Robbie Duran like more.
Hey. Aaron, are you suffering from an identity crisis? Is that, what's happening here?
I like Robbie's look, and so I thought I would.
Is that a Texas thing, I bet you.
Is that why you've gained like 90 pounds?
Oh, so you're saying I look, that's great. That's great. I don't think we resemble each other physique.
Not one bit.
You know, Robbie might like that, but I don't think.
A lot of people say to me, this is the truth, Aaron. A lot of people come up to me and say, who the fuck is Aaron Singerman? My friend Mike Popkin, who listens to the show, he's like, who are those fucking guys off topic? What do they do? What are they? And the truth is, a lot of people don't know where you came from. So give us, you know, we were talking a little bit this past week, and I didn't know a lot about you. And, you know, John, I don't know if you're aware, Aaron is a fellow felon. You know,
we all gravitate towards each other.
Yeah. So he actually fits perfectly into our whole group of people we have working for you now.
We got to get Jeff to catch a charge because he's the only one that hasn't done any time.
Please, we need someone who can actually.
I think Derek has surprisingly avoided.
You talk about me. I'm in the fucking studio.
I don't think I'm saying anything about Derek. I don't know what's right and what's not. So tell us about how you got indoctrinated into this whole world of illegality because you had a little run-in with the law at one point in your career.
That's right. Actually, I was 18 years old and
barely counts.
It counted. It definitely counted. They still remember, unfortunately. I was 18 years old, and I got into bodybuilding and working out very young. Everybody else would go get dropped off at home, and the carpool or whatever, and I'd get dropped off at the gym.
Now you were from New Orleans, right?
From New Orleans, Metairie, Louisiana, which is like...
How did a Jewish family wind up in Metairie, Louisiana?
They were exiled.
No, they were for generations.
Really?
My grandmother and my great-grandparents
were exiled early.
Yeah, they were exiled very, very early. They all moved from Germany, believe it or not.
Really?
Yeah,
they,
from the Holocaust.
Exiled, really? They got out of the Holocaust?
they avoided the Holocaust. They were very smart. They left in 1942.
Wow.
So they got out of there
just
way
in
early.
Time.
Way early. Well, they got out early enough so that they once they shut down the businesses, they said, let's get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, they were smart. Yeah. They were the smart
Jews. A lot of people, and a lot of their friends, from what they told me, my grandparents have told me, is that they said, you know, this can't possibly happen.
Right.
So even though they shut down the businesses, and you know they had signs up. They said, "No, it can't happen."
Right.
But my grandparents knew better. And I said, well,
"Why'd they go to Louisiana?"
Yeah,
no one would look for them there.
They started retail business. I don't know. You know, they say that's the Jewish people in that day and age. It was either retail.
Right.
You know, they'd either do something with retail, something with jewelry business, or lending money.
Right.
So they chose retail.
Gotcha. Lending money, which became banking.
Banking. Right. That's what I mean.
Yeah. Or loan sharking.
Back then, they called it banking.
No, the Italians invented that.
All right. So you're in New Orleans. You're working at a local gym. And what happens?
Yes. Working at. I'm not going to give any actual names, even though because Dave actually knows who I'm talking about. There's not a lot of pro bodybuilders in Louisiana. Some of them are from there. Ronnie's from there, you know.
Right, but this is a guy who actually lives there.
Right. And so I was working out at this gym, and we had a pro bodybuilder that worked out there. And he was in his 30s. I think his 30s when I was 18. And I had become friends with him, and he kind of took me under his wing and was showing me, I didn't know what I was doing at that point in time. So he kind of gave me a diet. We started working out together. And
is that the cheese blintz diet you follow now?
No. This is a slightly different version of the cheese blintz diet. He wasn't like a big guy. You know, he was a smaller bodybuilder, smaller pro, but he did win nationals, got his pro card. And it was him and Tazzy Cologne were the only really two that were in town, the pro bodybuilders.
You're not talking about Tazzy, though.
No, this is not Tazzy. No. It's a male bodybuilder.
Tazzy has her own business down there.
Right. She has her own very, very different business.
She's telling a meeting. She goes to work.
She goes to work.
Yes.
In the hotel room.
Yeah, this guy, as far as I know, he didn't do that. He may have, but I don't think so.
Okay.
So,
not the guys don't
do
that.
He didn't work for the same webcam company that Derek does.
No, right. I mean, I don't think
fuck
so.
You. Fucking haters.
So I worked out with this guy and we became friendly, I'd say. I thought he was a close friend of mine. And one day we were working out and he got me juice, you know. He was a big dealer back then.
Right.
And he was like the man. Mm-hmm. And so I knew that he had gotten in trouble with something else unrelated, like a recreational drug.
Right.
People knew that he got in trouble, but nobody cared because this is the guy.
He had like a coke problem, didn't he, or something?
He had a drug problem. Yeah, he had a drug problem. He asked me randomly one day. He said, listen, you know, there's some heat on me because, you know, what had happened in the past. And I want to know if you would do me a favor of holding my stockpile of juice. You know, and I said, oh, of course. You know, this is my friend. And, you know, he trains me. And to be honest with you, you know, I looked up to the guy. You know, sure. At 18 years old, imagine, you know.
Sure.
You know, you got a guy, a pro bodybuilder, and you know, he's working out with you. You think, you know, this is, you know, this guy's my friend.
Oh, he was a pro.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so he said, can you hold this for me? I said, yeah, of course. Of course I can hold it for you. And he said, well, I'll give you something for helping me out. You know, you just do this for me. So he gave me an enormous duffel bag full of juice. You
right.
know? I think like 15,000 Susten Ready Jacks.
And, wow, that's a lot.
It was a lot of juice. It was a big army duffel bag.
Right.
And I put it all in my car and drove it home and put it in my closet. And, you know, only a few days later, he called me and said, look, it was no big deal. I was wrong, you know. No big deal. Bring it back to the gym. And, you know, my apartment was only maybe a mile away. He's like, bring it back to the gym today. And, you know, it's all cool. Thank you. I'm gonna throw you something for helping me out. So I left my apartment. I put everything in the back of my car and started driving back to the gym about two blocks down the road. I noticed sirens behind me, you know.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, oh, what the hell? You know, you get a little nervous.
Yeah.
And I look, and man, there's a lot of sirens behind me.
Oh, shit.
And behind me, instead of one cop car, there's five cop cars and a drug van.
Oh, wow.
And they pull me over, and the cop walks up to my window, and you know, I roll down the window. I was pretty nervous at the time, yeah. You know. He's like, sir, you match the description of a man who's been seen stealing car stereos. Oh. I said, what? He said, yes. He's like, we need to search your car. And I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. He's like, well, get out the car. So I got out the car. And, you know, like I said, being 18 now, I know better. But at the time, they're like, listen, you need to sign this here. It says we search your car.
Oh, you let them sign it?
And he's like,
you want to be the scapegoat?
And so he's like, it's going to, look, we're going to get a search warrant anyway. We're going to get it anyway, you know, so you may as well sign it. We know you have car stereos in there.
Right.
And I'm like, you know, thinking to myself, well, I don't have car stereos, you know. I'm 18 years old. I'm like, right. I'm like, all right, well, you know, he's like, we could just have you sit here cuffed. You know, everybody's going to drive by and see you. Everybody, your friends, your family's going to, or you can sign this here and we can just get this out of the way.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I went and I was like, okay, I signed it. Of course, they go right to the duffel bag,
right.
Pull it out, open it up. They're like, oh, what do you got here? You know,
oh,
and
boy.
They lay it all out all over the ground and they start taking pictures of all the juice and everything. And so
he got in trouble. So he wanted to set you up. So he gave you his stuff and then told you to give it back to him. And then they busted you for it, which, you know, you think these cops, John, would want to catch someone who's actually doing something. He's just a scapegoat. Right. He didn't even do anything.
I was 18 years old.
Do you think
man.
That they really believed that he was the mastermind?
I told them.
Well, you know, sometimes they need a bust.
But I told him. I told him when they brought me back and questioned me, they're like, we know you're the kingpin.
Oh, my God.
They're like, just give up your sources and we're gonna make this disappear. And I'm like,
so Aaron, you mean to tell me this guy said that you were the kingpin?
That's right. That's right. So when they interviewed me, they said, you know, they wanted this to all disappear if I would just give them the name of who, you know.
Are they that stupid that they believe that he's going to be like, you know what, look, I got to get out of this. I'm going to give you the kingpin.
Right.
And they thought this 18-year-old kid was the kingpin?
No, the stupidest thing is that the kingpin they already had in custody is the kingpin
right.
who
but
had him.
But they had nothing on him except this weed charge or whatever, this recreational small.
Well, then how did so he was trying to get out of a weed charge by setting you up with all this
he
stuff?
He had multiple felony convictions. So I guess his lawyer or whoever had told him that if he were to get in trouble with this, with a smaller charge, that he would be doing, you know, 10 years or some large amount of time. So he said to himself, well, you know,
I'll give
10
up
years
I'll
or
give
I can
up
get, 10 years. Well, 10 years where I can probably, he didn't even worry about me. He probably said 10 years or I could lose this 50 grand or 100
the
grand.
The funny thing
juice.
Is he gave him 15,000 sustenance, which he was going to lose. You know, you imagine how many he must have really had, John,
but the phone call had to be taped.
Well, yeah, of course.
So he's saying, bring my stuff back. Okay, it's all cool.
He just said, probably bring the stuff. That's what he probably said, I'm sure.
I don't know. I never heard any tape, but I did.
They don't typically play it for
this gentleman actually did come to court and testify against him.
Oh, great.
So, you know.
You went to trial?
Oh, yeah, yeah. We went all the way through to the very end. And luckily, my parents used basically all my college money to get me the very, very best attorney. You know, this guy was phenomenal. And I ended up getting a 5-year suspended sentence.
Oh, so that's what ultimately happened to you?
I had a 5-year suspended sentence, and I had to do mandatory 18 months in a rehab. And like, you know, in a rehab
for what? Juice.
Anabolic steroid addiction.
Well, you know, that's part of
how I got that small thing, because my lawyer convinced the judge that I was addicted. I was mentally addicted to these anabolic steroids. And so he overlooked the possible sentence. What he could have given me, he said, you know what, this guy is, you know, obviously terribly addicted to these steroids, and he did these horrible things because he had to fulfill this need for the steroids.
Didn't you go in court, tell them what happened, really happened?
No, that would have been the lawyer said, do not say that.
Really?
He's smart. That would have been the wrong way to do it. What he did was smart.
Oh, they would have been trying to deny that he did it. Yeah.
Well, you can't. I did tell the police when they interviewed me. I said, look, I'm not anybody. I said, listen, I don't have anybody to give up. I there's no option for me because there's nobody to give up.
Yeah.
So the guy to give up, you know, is this guy. And I told them the name. Yeah, yeah. And they're like, you know, they looked at each other. And in retrospect, I realized that they're like, you know,
they were working.
They knew. They were like, oh, that's the same guy who gave you up, you know?
Yeah.
So that was like the end of the interview.
No, right? The lawyer made the right play because it would have turned into a pissing match.
Right.
His word against his, there's no proof.
Yeah.
So by saying, look, he's an addict, you know, he just suffers, you know, his personal use or whatever. He needs to sell some so he can do it. And, you know, they'll forgive for that. I remember I was with, you know, Dan Duchesne on one where he testified in a personal use case. Actually, another top pro was involved giving testimony to these two twin guys that we used to work out together in Gold's Venice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Each had a hefty garbage bag. It filled with all kinds of shit, Parabolin and Sustanon and, you know, thousands of tabs of, you know, Winnie and Anavar. And, you know, they got off on a personal use beef because, you know, they said, look, this stuff's hard to get. You know, we're addicted to this shit. We're these big, huge guys going to Hollywood. We need this stuff.
Right.
You know,
you got to also remember that this was 1998. So it's the climate was definitely different. If this were to happen today, there'd be no suspended
sentence. Oh, yeah.
You'd be
still doing time.
Yeah. They estimated, this is, you know, this just goes to show you, they estimated the street value was something like $740,000.
What?
Which, of course, it wasn't, but this is their inflated.
Closer to a million. The guidelines are different now, too.
So. Well, since that time, two separate sentencing commission hearings have convened, which increased, you know, sentences. They were very upset that Victor Conte didn't do any time.
Mm.
So they significantly raised the, you'll do 5 years for Diana Ball right now.
So the interesting story, Dave, is that I actually spent over a year in rehab. With a bunch of
in
drug
rehab,
addicts.
Or you had to go. It was an outpatient type.
Inpatient rehab.
You were in rehab
for over one year.
What? So it was like jail. You were in jail.
Yeah, I was in intensive inpatient rehab, and everybody there.
It didn't work though, obviously.
Nobody liked me. Nobody liked me because they were like, this guy, he's not an addict.
There's nothing wrong with
him. He's taking steroids. They didn't like it.
They thought you were like a phony in there?
Yeah, they thought I was a phony. They're like, because I had to say, my name is Aaron Singerman, and I'm addicted to steroids.
Now, were there any hot, you know, heroin addict chicks in there that you could get over?
There were some, but this particular place was like a really fancy rehab. Everybody there was a doctor or a lawyer, a very, very big celebrity athlete. I'm not going to say the guy's name, but that everybody, anybody listening who would have heard.
Well, tell us, who cares?
Who gives a shit?
Can I say?
Yes.
Because there's like agreements you sign when you go to this place.
Who cares?
The statute of limitations is over.
Yeah,
okay,
12 years.
He plays, he's an
Just
older.
Just give his fucking name.
You think?
You can say the name. It's an athlete. It's not a bodybuilder. We're not going to be in trouble.
Yeah, but there's like this disclosure.
So what? So what?
Brett Favre.
Really?
Really?
He was in there. Wow. For what was he addicted to?
Pain medicine.
Wow. That doesn't count.
Yeah.
Well, it's not nearly nefarious.
He ended up donating enough money to build a fitness center there.
That's cool.
That's cool.
And
he
so it was all
It worked for Brett Favre. It didn't work for you, obviously.
Well, yeah, because you're still addicted to anabolic steroids.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
And other stuff too.
Now you got into some
no other stuff.
You had a problem with some recreational drugs at some point in your life too. When did that occur?
Actually, most of my life, I would say.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know that.
So you're a very successful drug addict.
Well, he's over them now.
Over the drugs now, John.
How did you get into the recreational drugs?
he hooked up with Carl Lenore and said, "Holy shit, I better do something about this now."
That was afterwards.
Trust me, if I was doing drugs,
I just showed him the anal receptivity. That's all I did.
Yeah, he got worried that pretty soon I'm going to have to just doing this shit anally. I better stop now.
No, if I were still doing the drugs like I was doing then,
well, what were you
there
doing?
Would be no radio show.
Well, what kind of drugs were you doing?
Well, let me say, I started off with drugs probably very, very young, you know, like 13, you know, was drinking.
So you're smoking weed and drinking. But yeah, like, what kind of like hard drugs did you do?
The first thing was really from your buddy, Dan Duchesne. I read New Band.
That's a nice track mark on your arm.
Yeah. Thanks for pointing that out there, John.
I got two of them. I'll trade with you.
Yes.
Well, yours is nasty.
Thank you.
That was more the Nubain that you told me.
Yeah,
that.
Well, what happened was actually that was an abscess. Missing, sometimes you miss.
A lot, yeah.
And when you miss with other, you know, Nubain's not that bad. You miss with Nubain, chances are you're not going to get an abscess.
No.
You miss with something else.
You were doing heroin, too.
Well, I've done just about everything.
Really?
Yeah.
At what age was this at?
That was later on. What happened was with Nubain, I find that when you start with something like Nubain, you know, your options are really pretty wide open.
Because you have Stadol, Torbugesic.
Well, yeah. When you're willing to inject a drug into a vein, you know, that's pretty much it.
That's what started me on it.
Yes. Yeah, so once you're willing to do that, then nothing is really taboo. Right. You know what I mean? So
yeah, but a lot of guys don't go past Nubain because Nubain is a functional type of high. To go to the next level of a heroin or shooting coke, that's pretty extreme.
I didn't. Like I said, it's more of a stepping ladder. You know, so with Nubain, I like Nubain because even though it's not an opiate antagonist or whatever.
What's an agonist?
It's an agonist antagonist.
Right, exactly. You can't OD on self-leveling.
Exactly.
You can't OD on
exactly. So, but the feeling is very similar to an opiate.
See, it is. It's milligram per milligram basis equal to morphine.
Yeah, very, very. I don't agree with that. After doing morphine,
well,
I don't agree.
But because morphine is not self-leveling, right. That's why. But up to the threshold, it is.
Right. Interestingly enough, you know, because of the antagonist, if you are addicted to opiates and you do Nubain, you'll knock you into withdrawals.
Yes, right. Sure.
Which is, you know,
it's really weird.
Yeah, that's pretty important to know if you're addicted to opiates.
Did you ever experience that?
Yeah, I did. not pleasant.
No. So how did you start on shooting heroin? I mean, that's pretty extreme.
Like I said, it went steps. You know, I started with that, with the Nubain, and eventually I just couldn't get Nubain anymore. The price was, I was getting them for $10 a bottle.
Yeah, they went up to $100.
And then all of a sudden, you know, the Astra stuff was $100 a bottle.
Did you like the Astra or the DuPont? I didn't like the DuPont.
The Astra's
better.
Yeah. But so for $10.
The bar was the other one. Remember there was another, like in a white box? It was like a generic one.
Yeah, there was generic
bar or something.
Yeah.
Like
bar something. I don't know. I looked Astra was the purple one.
Yeah, the pink one.
Yeah.
Anyway, so you started with that, and eventually it just got too expensive. And then later on, you know, that was before rehab, mm-hmm. you know, and it, I never felt like, I never really detoxed off of that stuff. Mm-hmm. People say, you know, that it's hard to kick a Nubain addiction, and it doesn't, that there's no comparison. People say like, the Nubain is, you know, compare that to heroin or methadone or something like that. And there's no comparison whatsoever. So
you found heroin cheaper than Nubain?
Let him tell the story. Well, he's passing it.
So no, I'm not passing. I'm going to it. Right. So the next thing on the list there was opiates, just pills, you know, Vicodins and stuff like that. And I would take them when I was going out and stuff like that. And you know, all that seems pretty benign because I never really got any kind of addicted to it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But I started with Oxycontin. And Oxycontin is a whole different story because you can get addicted pretty quickly.
Well, let me back up a second. So you graduated from Nubain to oral opiates.
Oral opiates.
Didn't you have any? Did the oral opiates quell the physical addictiveness of the, you know, the withdrawal symptoms of the Nubain?
It wasn't that fast, you know. So as soon as I stopped doing the opiates, Scorpions because I was in the new band because I went to the rehab. You know,
so you kicked. So you basically kicked new band.
Yeah, but it was like nothing.
It takes a week.
I didn't even feel it. I mean,
you're kidding.
Maybe it was like a little.
Oh man, I had to threaten the pharmacist's life and tell him.
He was probably so fucked up from going to the rehab, and then he wasn't going to jail. He probably was happy to kick.
It wasn't dramatic. Let's put it to you that way. I'm comparing it to other stuff now. You know what I mean? Maybe it makes you a little irritable coming off.
I had a really hard time with it.
Well, you'd be incapacitated with heroin or something like that. So
thank God I didn't like it.
Yeah. Yeah. So the OxyContin got very popular and it's still popular to this day. You know, they call it hillbilly heroin.
Right. Now, were you grinding up the little beads?
I have no interest to this day. You know, anything that like the attractiveness of the drug was that it hits you instantly.
Well, no, you have to make it hit you instantly. Well,
right. What I'm saying is
you have to open the caps and grind
it
up.
Let him tell you, he's the drug addict.
I know. So I don't know about this either. So
yeah, I want to hear what he's experiencing.
I want to know the process. So okay. you were grinding up the little beads.
You're not letting him talk.
I want to hear how he was doing.
Well, let the guy tell the story.
Say it.
Were you shooting it or taking the pills?
Holy God.
This is important.
Okay. So OxyContin is oxycodone extended release pill. So people maybe don't know that. If you swallow it, it lasts over 12 hours. That's the idea behind the pill.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. When you crush it, all of a sudden it will hit you instantly. So sometimes people will crush it and then swallow it because then you get 80 milligrams or whatever the pill is instantly.
It.
Right. Right. And you're getting ahead of me, John. Some people will snort it. Right. I don't like
John's
that.
John's getting very excited about
John's
this.
John's like,
I'm going to do some.
He said crush.
So yes, you can crush them and you will put water. I feel weird even giving instructions on how to do it, but you can cook them, and then after it's cooked, you can suck it up through a needle and you can inject it. You know, with a cotton ball or whatever. Some people use, if you're fancy, you can use a micron filter, like you use to filter Trend or something else. Mm-hmm. And it takes all the junk out of it. You let it cool down and then you can shoot it and it'll hit you instantly. So, you know, I got into that because around where I lived at the time, Baton Rouge, it was very popular, these pain clinics. Right. And they're popular in Houston, too. And they're just like, it's like a pill mill, I guess you'd say. And people will go, you'll go to these doctors and you'll go in there and...
So I have chronic back pains.
Yeah, it's all bullshit.
Yeah, well, the drug companies fostered that whole little cottage industry because they knew that OxyContin was addictive.
Yeah, they're selling so many of those at one point in time, like a ridiculous amount. I mean, it's like, you know, everybody in America could be taking 3 or 4 a day and they've got enough. I went to these pill mills and you will pay, you know, like for OxyContin, depending on the type of drug you're getting, if you're just getting Lortabs, it might be $75 for a visit, right? If you're getting OxyContin and maybe with the rest of the trio they give you, you pay $300. Yeah. So I'll pay $300 cash. You'll go and see the doctor and the doctor will say, you know, what do you want? Say, you know, OxyContin.
Can you speed this process up?
what do you want me to go
to? Get to the fucking grid. How are you doing it? I want to know how you got into heroin.
Now you want to know.
I don't
want
to hear how it goes to the doctor and scores the fucking drugs.
Well, it's okay. So I went from that to, you know, eventually these things started costing a lot of money. I didn't want to go to the doctors anymore.
Heroin
is cheaper. Okay. Definitely. Heroin is cheaper.
And they don't charge for a doctor visit.
Exactly. Yeah, there's no doctor visit.
So you went to this corner, you get your fucking bag of heroin and you shoot that.
Right.
How long were you doing that for?
No, wait. What kind of heroin are you using?
Black tar heroin.
Black tar. Ooh.
Black tar, or you can get our brown powder.
Mexican sugar smack?
Yeah.
See, John knows all the drugs.
I was doing them. Of course. Why am I asking him?
You did heroin too?
Colombia, Coco Crispies.
I didn't do enough heroin to get, you know, hooked on it.
Yeah. So
I didn't like it.
Hooked on fire.
I didn't like throwing up after every injection.
I never threw up.
You did it?
Never.
You're hardcore, dude.
Yeah, I never threw up. If anything, what it would do is make me even nod out, you know. So I was useless though, you know, like any of these drugs, I was useless.
So you weren't training anymore, I assume. Then.
That's the interesting thing on heroin. I had no problem eating or going to work out, you know,
right.
It doesn't last all day and I didn't have the money to be doing it all day either. So, you know, I would go to the gym and work out and everything, but, holding down a job was almost like not really, you know,
cause it just makes you not give a shit.
Right. Yeah. You know, I did some personal training and, stuff like that, but in reality I was basically worthless, a worthless human being. You know?
Right.
I did that for quite a while, and then I met a girl that sold a lot of cocaine.
Sold cocaine. That's what a great fucking person to meet.
That sold a lot of cocaine.
Yeah, girlfriend with assets.
Yes. She had a lot. Yes. And she sold it in very large quantities.
And she was supporting you.
And yeah, I started dating this girl, and we started living together, and she was completely supporting me. So now, not only was I a worthless person before with some sort of work, now I was a worthless person with no work at all.
Wow. Right. So you were shooting heroin and you were snorting coke? No,
were you speedballing? Were you mixing them?
I have done that, but interestingly enough, I like the cocaine better.
Really? Snorting it or shooting it?
Shooting it. I don't know how to snort anything. So I really stopped doing the heroin, and instead I would get methadone from her clients.
Oh God!
Because her clients are, like I said, they're big time. This is not she's not selling like an ounce or two. She's selling, you know, pounds and kilos at a time.
Wow. Okay.
So
this is like major time.
Is she Colombian?
No, she's a white girl.
Wow. I think she's Diego's fucking relative.
Interestingly enough, John, you'll think this is interesting. All of the black guys in the area that I lived in, all the big time black guys, loved to deal with her because there was they weren't scared.
Because she had a big ass.
they liked her because they didn't think that she was going to shoot them and steal their money.
Right.
And so all these guys liked dealing with her, and they didn't even want me around. I couldn't be around because it would make them nervous.
Right.
So they'd go deal with her in these quantities, and I guess that's one of the main reasons she was so successful was because,
How'd you get away from her?
You know, one day the cocaine, when you do cocaine, there's no eating, there's no working out.
Right.
It's not like it's full time, you know? Yeah. So when.
Especially when you have an unlimited supply.
And it's also there's no not doing more later.
Some weeks I'd be awake 5 days in a row.
Is it true that when you shoot coke, you start like feel like there's insects crawling under your skin?
No, I never really felt like that.
No,
I never really felt like that. I would stay awake for days and days, and then eventually start seeing shit and hearing the noises.
Yeah, when you get sleep deprived like that,
very few cocaine addicts can do coke, you know, shoot coke 5 days in a row because I go through a few eight balls in a day.
Wow. Yeah, because you lose a lot of it when you.
That's a lot of coke. Yeah.
It was unlimited. You know?
How are you going to sleep eventually?
Eventually, I would stop, and as soon as I'd stop, I'd pass out. Literally, I'd just.
Oh, really?
Pass out. So
you weren't having a lot of sex then?
Not.
I thought when you're on those crazy stimulants, you have
eventually,
sex, no?
Eventually.
Nothing works.
No, you don't.
Methamphetamine people say that they get horny as hell. They fuck like banshees.
Everything worked on me, but it wasn't like the relationship wasn't like that, though. You know, it wasn't like a romantic relationship.
It was a drug relationship, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't romantic at all, you know?
So what were you offering her, just out of curiosity?
Bear Jew protection.
What was she getting out of having you as a boyfriend? That.
Company, I guess. Company.
Somebody to do drugs. Somebody to do drugs with.
Cook the coke up for her.
I don't know.
You guys were getting high together.
Yeah.
Yeah. So somebody.
Company.
Somebody,
I guess company. That's it. You know. I don't know what I offered her at first, but by the end, you know, I was 175 pounds.
From what?
Back then I was probably maybe 240 when we met.
Oh wow,
so.
That's a lot of weight.
And I got down to 175. And one day I was laying in bed with her, and she was telling me that she loved me or something. We were soulmates or something.
Yeah.
And I remember going to the bathroom and to take a piss. And I looked at myself in the mirror, and I was thinking about how she was saying she loved me. Yeah. And I looked at myself, and I felt like I almost had a nervous breakdown. Like, this girl, you know, is this my future? You know, I look like a skeleton. I haven't slept in days, and this girl loves me. You know? And I think that was it, man. I think I reached like a breaking point.
So that was your epiphany.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I went home, and I thank God the whole time I kept an apartment. And went home, and I detoxed myself, and it was an extremely horrible month.
Really? Yeah.
A month without barely showering, barely shaving. My parents would bring me food, bread and peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah, you know, I was just going to, how did your parents, you know, deal with all this?
They thought I was going to die. I mean, they did not think I had a lot left.
Because you're very involved with your parents.
Yeah, very. At the time, I didn't have a great relationship with them.
Well, how can you?
Yeah, because they were, you know, they looked at me and they know things are not going.
They knew you were like Skeletor.
Yeah, exactly. Right. You know, so
were you dropping paint chips in your eye back then too?
That's Carl Lenore, you mean?
Yeah, I thought you had some experience.
I don't expose my secrets.
did you have experience with that too?
Paint chips? What are you talking about? Anybody paint chips in my eye?
Oh, it's a fucking fantastic. Maybe we should take some of those fucking eight balls and instead of putting them in the side pocket, put them in the anal pocket.
No, I don't have any experience with paint gym.
Well, speaking of Carl, how did you now? You know, you got off drugs. You kicked everything.
Yes.
Okay. And you got back into bodybuilding.
Yes.
You were personal training. I think you remember telling me at LA Fitness, and you met Carl Lenore.
Yeah, I was actually I got my shit back together, started working out again, and got away from this girl.
Right.
And I started working at LA Fitness, where I eventually managed LA Fitness. And I hated my job, but I in the meantime, I started posting on MD when you guys were at MD.
Right.
And interestingly enough, I didn't take it from the I go with the goal of just like meeting people in the community.
Right.
Even then, when I started posting with number one, I put my name as, instead of, you know, Big Muscle 64, I put my name Aaron Sangren.
Right.
Right.
With the intentions of
finding. You know, I wasn't trying to be like Huge 285 or anything like that.
Right. And I wanted some gay name like that.
Yeah.
So my intentions were always to find some role in the industry, because that's what I loved. What I knew that's what I liked doing.
Right.
And so I when I started posting in the chemical enhancement section and stuff like that, my goal was not to find the entertainment and friends on the internet. My goal was to somehow break into the industry.
Right. Mm.
So that was the goal from the beginning, and I spent a lot of time doing that. And one of the things I listened to, other than you guys' radio show and then Pro Bodybuilding Weekly, was Superhuman Radio, Carl's show.
Mm-hmm.
And Carl is very good about answering his emails in detail, and so I would give him critiques on his shows.
Right.
You know, I think I said something that touched a nerve. Because I didn't like one of his shows that he did about one of his advertisers, and I thought it was like kind of like a pimp job,
right?
And I wrote him an email, and he said, "What's your phone number? I want to call you."
Oh, really?
Yeah, and he called me and explained why he was doing this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, sometimes you got to do what you got to do, and explained everything. And we talked on the phone for a while, and he's like, "Man, you got a good radio voice." And I said, you know what, Carl? I said, listen, I got an idea. I said, I got a good radio voice, right?
You sound good now.
You actually sound better when you make fun of yourself.
You're not on Skype. That's why you sound so good.
Right. Yeah. So Carl said, I told Carl, I said, listen, I have an idea. I've listened to, he had like 300 shows at the time. I said, nobody has ever interviewed you. So why don't you let me come on your show and interview you?
Right.
And he was like, wow, it's a good idea. I never thought about that. So we planned it out a few weeks later, and I wrote all the questions down and prepared myself.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of looked at it as like a job interview.
Right.
And so I interviewed him, and I think it went really, really well. And he had a great time. And who doesn't like talking about themselves, you know? So he had a great time.
Some more than others.
Right. And so he after we did it, he came up with an idea. He said, I want to do a radio show with you. And I said, well, great. You know, that's great. And so we started talking about it. And yeah, I think it was mostly his idea, the forum member stuff.
Right.
And of course, he knew you, and he called you with the idea, the forum, a show for the forum members by the forum members. That was the original like byline,
right?
And it's kind of evolved into other things, but that was originally the main plan. And we started off with MD, with you guys,
yeah.
And that's how it started.
Hmm. And now I'm happy to announce, John. You know, I mean, I don't know if you're aware, but Derek Anthony had a meltdown this past weekend, and Aaron Singerman will be taking over as the new host of the Derek Anthony Show.
Oh,
so
that's going to go over well.
Yeah. So we wanted to kind of give him a little audition here, right on the air live.
All right.
He hasn't had any time to prepare or anything like that. This will be able to tell us if he's able to hold down the job. Jeff, are you ready for him?
I'm ready. I don't know, Aaron. Are you ready to go?
Do you think we should go to a commercial break and come back?
Yeah, let's go to a commercial break
with the new Derek Anthony show.
Right. Okay.
All right.
We'll be back in two.
This is Heavy Muscle Radio, only on RxMuscle.com. ALR Industries. ALR Industries products are backed by 3 decades of experience in the science and lifelong dedication to bodybuilding from its founder, Arthur L. Ray. In 2001, ALR Industries was created to give the hardcore bodybuilder the edge you need to build the perfect beast. Hyperdrive 3.0 is a synergistic blend of fat-burning herbs which yields the most potent legally available formula on the market today. Hyperdrive 3.0 will burn fat, control your appetite, improve your mood and focus, and give you an energy boost you've never experienced.
Restore. Restore blocks estrogen, enhances libido, and optimizes free testosterone. You'll be stronger, recover faster, and build muscle like never before. Then, fuel your workouts with the great-tasting and energy-enhancing Hyper Shot. Hyper Shot will boost your athletic performance to new levels, allowing you to train harder, improve your endurance, and get the most out of your time in the gym. Whining is not an option for those who refuse to accept mediocrity. Visit ALRIndustries.com today.
When you hit the gym, you set in motion a fundamental set of molecular activation signals and cellular growth mechanisms that deliver your desired gains in mass and strength. The magnitude of those processes, as well as how efficiently your muscles recover force production, can dramatically affect your net progress in a training cycle. Progenix protein supplements interact precisely and powerfully to amplify these pathways to produce enhanced growth responses of 100% or more compared to conventional whey protein sources. And they facilitate full recovery of force production in just 6 hours following the most grueling workout, allowing you to train harder, more frequently, for more dramatic gains. Experience the exclusive metabolic advantage available from Nature's Toolbox and Dr. Scott Connolly, renowned pioneer in applied dairy science and inventor of the original Metrex product. Go to ProgenixSRG.com and use the code NBR801 to get 10% off the purchase of any single Progenix product.
When the world crumbles around you, will you be ready to fight back? Brutal Alchemy Performance Nutrition's unique line of supplements will help you win the war in the gym. Ancient Strength is a unique blend of three creatine esters which will infuse you with the ancient strength needed for the battle at hand. Isolation is a pure whey protein isolate that provides 26 grams of protein in every 29-gram scoop. Attack NO2 is Brutal Alchemy's nitric oxide booster that will increase your pumps and performance. After your battle in the gym, it's time for Onslaught, Brutal Alchemy's comprehensive post-workout drink, providing everything you need to suffuse your muscles, joints, and body with the components to heal, grow stronger, and return to the fray. And when it's time to conquer in the bedroom, you'll need Forged Steel, Brutal Alchemy's male enhancement product. Lead the charge to BrutalAlchemy.com to obtain the essential elements of your brutal transformation. Brutal Alchemy, it's better to be a member of the Horde than to be destroyed by it. RxMuscle.com introduces the cheapest and fastest growing discount supplement store on the net. DiscountSupplements.com. DiscountSupplements.com not only has the best prices on all of the industry's most popular products, but they also offer next day delivery for just $7.99. You heard right. For a flat fee of just $7.99, most orders arrive the next day at a price that simply cannot be beat. As a matter of fact, their prices and service are so good, we made them the official store for RxMuscle.com. If you haven't visited DiscountSupplements.com, what are you waiting for? Visit DiscountSupplements.com today.
Build serious muscle now. G-A-T. Get huge and stay lean. G-A-T. Achieve total muscle domination. Oh. Pump up and shred down with four great GAT products. Pre-workout Jet Fuse and OX. For insane strength and psychotic workouts, use Jet Fuse before attacking the weights. Post-workout Jet Mass. After training, use Jet Mass's muscle volumizing German creatine with HGH boosters and branched chain aminos to repair and recover. In protein, Muscle Teen. Muscle Teen has 45 grams of extended release protein to rebuild muscle tissue during and after training. Shred and burn in your Jet Fuel Pyro. Use Jet Fuel Pyro, the number one feel-good fat burner, to help you feel great as you burn fat faster and easier. Find these GAT products at retailers worldwide or go to our website at teamgat.com. That's TEAMGAT.com.
Plasmatic is the next generation of nitric oxide amplifiers. Plasmatic contains the clinically proven glycocarn and other exclusive cofactors to give you a better pump, extreme vascularity, and aid in both performance and recovery. Plasmatic is the only next generation nitric oxide amplifier that contains no L-arginine. Plasmatic's proprietary blend is manufactured using a state-of-the-art liquid capsule technology and lipomatic delivery. See Plasmatic today at your local vitamin shop or call us now at 866-GET-EST-1 or visit us on the web at estnutrition.com. Plasmatic, results guaranteed.
Flashpoint
the world's first sublingual fat burner. Flashpoint will change the way you look at fat burners forever. That's because traditional pills, capsules, and even liquid caps are broken down in your stomach, taking over 23 minutes to start working. But now, Isatori Technologies has engineered a fat burner that completely bypasses the stomach. Flashpoint melt tabs are absorbed right through the sublingual and buccal glands in your mouth. With Flashpoint, you'll start feeling its effects within 33 seconds. 33 seconds. Now that's fast and as hardcore as it gets. Visit isatoritech.com or GNC to start feeling fat burning in 33 seconds with Flashpoint.
Who are the Iron Sirens? The heroes. Susie Curry. Adela Garcia. Jenny Lynn. Crystal Richardson. Who are the Dark Divas? Gina Aliotti as Diva X. Jen Gates as Shade. Liza Kamstra as Black Lotus. Sonia Gonzalez as Raptress. And their story is told only in Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens is a one-of-a-kind limited edition comic book series and is the brainchild of J.M. Mannion. Order your copy of Iron Sirens today before they're gone. Visit IronSirensComics.com. That's IronSirensComics.com to get your copy of Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens. Iron
Sirens. RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up to the minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com.
RxMuscle.com presents. This is the Derek Anthony Show.
And you wouldn't have to work hard.
What's up, everybody? This is Aaron Sangerman. I'm the new host of the Derek Anthony Show. Shalom and Gizadich.
Oh, my God, Aaron. I can't believe that you actually took over the show. What's going on here, man?
Well, you know, Dave decided to make a move, and Derek is no longer with us anymore. But I will be hosting the Derek Anthony Show from now on. You know, Jeff, I wanted to make a move anyway, expand my territory. And since this was open, figured why not? I'll take the spot.
You know, this is kind of interesting also because this actually just took place Sunday afternoon. And it was announced, it was actually decided by like the two bosses. They said, you know what, we're not going to deal with certain things that are happening behind the scenes. We got to make a move. And you actually offered to live with Dave for the next 6 months so that he can help you find an apartment in Long Island.
That's right. That's right. Cool. Dave was very generous. He offered me the third floor. Dave will be moving downstairs into one of the guest bedrooms, and it's going to work out for me.
Yeah, I think he's going to pick the guest bedroom that's closer to his room so he can have more access to the computer room.
Right? Well, we'll see if that's okay with me, but we'll check that out. And if it is okay, then we'll have Dave move into there.
Sounds good. Well, you know, Derek's, you know, the tradition on the show is that he always has a hit list, and I think you have a few guys in your hit list.
Yeah, let's do the hit list, Jeff. Let's fuck these motherfuckers up. It's Diego B.
Oh, shit!
Yes, that's right. Diego B made a horrible mistake in spotting this week for the Pro vs. Pros Challenge. He was spotting Karen, and he thought he would be proactive and help her from one side, when unfortunately the other side was not being helped so much. So it didn't go very well, and I wanted to give Diego a slap, Jeff. Let's slap Diego B. Number two is Carl Lenore.
Oh, Aaron, you two-faced fucking bear jewel. Why don't you take that fucking line you got on your fucking arm, shove it in your fucking asshole, maybe you get some residual fucking bugs, and you'll feel a fucking high, you fucking piece of shit jewel.
Well, Jeff, I think that Carl deserves this, Carl. We've been doing 65 weeks of continuous radio without a break, and unfortunately, Carl Lenore could not get the motherboard replaced on the server, so we could do a show this week. So not only do we miss our Wednesday show, but we also miss the live Bros versus Pros Challenge, which we were supposed to do a live broadcast from. So Carl definitely deserves at least one gunshot. We want to shoot him with a 38 to the chest. Do that, Jeff.
I just realized I am actually a frustrated 16-year-old stuck in a 51-year-old body.
And first on my list, Jeff, is none other than Derek Anthony himself.
Whoa, what the fuck? You fucking bad Jew, you do this in my fucking absence?
I'm sorry, Jeff, but it has to be done. For the last host, he's gone. He's been replaced, and he needs to be sprayed. Jeff, get out the Uzi. Let's do it with Israeli-made Uzi, and let's get him. Spray him, Jeff.
I will fucking burn! I'm a firing my laser!
Jump in here, you know, you're dissing our homeboy Derek. You can't diss Derek Anthony like that.
Listen up, Romano, you old man, you washed up has been. You get your shine box and you shine my fucking shoes. Now get out of here, you guinea fuck.
Oh,
get that itch.
Coming soon to a Friday night near you, the Derek Anthony Show with Aaron Singerman.
I shoot Cento on my fucking chin.
Heavy Muscle Radio.
Hey, this is the game, Triple H from the WWE. You're listening to Heavy Muscle Radio with John Romano and Dave Palumbo.
This hour of Heavy Muscle Radio is brought to you by Progenics. Visit ProgenicsSRG.com.
Welcome back to Heavy Muscle Radio. I'm Dave Palumbo here with John Romano, Aaron Singerman in the studio, and we got our next guest who was so popular this last weekend that we just had to have her on the radio show today and see what she's been up to. Now, she's been a house guest at my place for the last week, and I'll have her for another 7 days. The beautiful lady I'm talking about is none other than IFBB Pro, Nicole Ball.
Thank you, Dave.
Welcome back into the studio. You were here for the Heavy Muscle Show a little earlier in the week. That was before the squad off, and now the squad off is over, and you were unfortunately defeated against the odds. What's going on?
Not much, but just a little bit to say about the pros versus Joes.
Pros versus pros.
Yes. It was, I didn't think it was going to be that much of a turnout. I agree with you guys, it was a great turnout. I believe it was five ladies stood up to the plate.
Yeah.
And honestly, coming into it, I think majority of the women got around 30 reps.
Yeah.
So I thought that was very high, very impressive. No, I did not quite come and do as many as I was even practicing doing back home. But, you know, that's the odds of the whole game. The girl who did win, bless her soul, she was good. She was tight.
Karen Gatto, yeah, 51 Karen reps.
Gatto, yeah, and she was strong through them all. She pushed.
Were you concerned when you saw her put 51 reps up?
You know, honestly, no.
Because you were the last to go.
Honestly, I wasn't, because I was doing that back home with time to spare in the end.
Really?
I got more back home.
So what do you think happened this time? What was your assessment of what you might have done wrong?
Honestly, back home, I think my biggest problem that I did do is I wish that I didn't use my knee wraps. Every time I practiced back home, I was even putting like extra weight on back home, mm-hmm. and still doing 40 reps.
Really?
So, and I never used wraps.
So you made a miscalculation, you think? What happened? Did you? Because a lot of people saying with the wraps, their feet were going numb.
See, I paused too long. Like I was talking to Ben White afterwards, and he said it totally out straight. You know, when you have your wraps on, they are tight. Every time you come up, if you even have that 1-2 second pause longer than what should be, mm-hmm. you know, that's exactly what happens. You cut that blood flow out, and they end up going numb. My legs did go numb, but honestly, for me, it was more my lower back.
Really? You gave out a little bit?
Yeah. You could see that. By the time I was even halfway up to the 40 reps, you could see my background.
Yeah, you did like 47 reps, and you were struggling, I guess, when you got to about 35, I thought.
Struggling hard, yeah.
So that was all heart the last 10, 12, huh?
Yeah.
So, all right, well, you know, we might have a rematch, John, because, you know, we've been talking about this, and a lot of people want to do this thing again, and I know, mentioned earlier, Daniel Connor from Florida wants to challenge Jose again for his title. Jose is more than willing to come down for another $2,000, and maybe we can do another women's challenge, because this seems to be popular, and I know there was a lot of women in a couple of the states that wanted to come down to powerlifters and get involved with this, too. You know, now with the bar set at 51 reps as the record, I can only imagine what some of these other girls might start putting up, you know, especially, you know, it's always hard to know what the first thing that is going to happen. Once you see the record set, it's easy to break the record, I find.
I agree. And, you know, honestly, if we look at the big picture, I think it was really great that a girl that just came out of it, you know, beat the pro. I think it really opens the standards for a lot of other girls out there, a lot of women out there, knowing, you know what, I can stand with some of the best. I can stand up there and I can do it. So I'm really hoping with her winning, which she well deserved, that more women will come to the challenge and just make it more impressive, you know, because the men had, what, 15?
Yeah.
I honestly think we can get that for the women.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah. Personally, if two people are there, that's enough for me. But you know what? I like when the public sees it, or at least an opening for them to come in and try to, you know, win something. Because look, we all know, Aaron, you see this in the gym too. There's always these guys that are always saying, "Oh, I don't care how that guy looks on stage. I'm stronger than him. I can do more reps than him." Step up to the plate. We're putting money on the line here.
Prove it.
Now we're gonna institute a different lift for the next one. Or are we gonna go right to a rematch?
I don't know. I think we might do a deadlift first, and then we might go back to either a bench or a squat again for the summer.
Now Jeff the producer wants to do bent over rows.
well, you see, the reason why is because
you can do like 900 of them.
Yeah, but you know, with like the deadlift, in order for you to do it right, you're gonna have to put about 600 pounds on that bar. Because you know, you're talking 405 is not a lightweight for squat. That's a heavy squat.
Yeah.
Okay. So
I would do 500 probably for deadlifts. I think that would be good.
Then I'm jumping in.
Yeah.
You can deadlift
for sure.
How many reps can you do?
Who knows?
All right.
Doesn't want to give it up.
Just like the bicep curl, I'll never give it up.
Yeah.
But I'll win.
We don't even know how many reps Jeff can do with an 80-pound dumbbell.
Big Sean Andrews is a good deadlifter too. He's at the end of the Bros vs. Pros challenge, Ben White issued a challenge to Big Sean Andrews. So. In that deadlift competition. So we might see deadlift next, and then we might go back to, like I said, either a bench or a squat. I actually enjoyed the squat. Like I said, the best of all of them. Are you looking for a rematch, though, Nicole?
I just might be up for that.
Yeah, all right. Because I know you don't like to lose. You know,
no, I don't.
I know it's irking you. You're going to have to live with this the next couple months until we get you back under that bar again.
I just don't like to lose when I know that personally I could do better, and I was doing better.
Well, Bonnie slipped too. She thought she could have easily won also. So, you know, I think that it was, you know, it's whoever puts it up on the day
Absolutely.
Of the competition.
It was that day that counted. It wasn't last week. So.
Well, now, of course, we had a after party after the event, and you were also seemed to what you lacked in squatting prowess, you made up for in salaciousness at the party. And there seems to be a very scandalous photo of you and one Derek Anthony involving some cotton candy. You want to elaborate?
Very little cotton candy
and a lot of mouth. So,
there's way more cotton candy. Trust me.
Meaning in terms of distance, or you want to quantify that?
In terms of everything.
So in other words, there was nothing to that picture.
No.
So describe the picture, John, in case people haven't seen it.
Let me give a recap of Aaron's night at the after party, because Derek seems to love this, my recap, and it's pretty hysterical because Aaron shows up. We get the club four. You know, we're all excited. We're all
very, by the way, it's a very, very, very upscale, nice
club lounge
dinner restaurant, you know, club lounge thing.
So Aaron sits down all by himself at the table. We're at the bar. We're drinking. You know, we're starting to get.
Well, we had been there 5 minutes.
Right. He disappeared. I don't know where he went.
He wanted to eat.
So I said, let me go. I know Aaron's my guest here. I want to go, you know, make sure he's having a good time. So I go to the bathroom. He's not in the bathroom. And they have like a little section where they have tables set up there. So I go over to the tables. There are all these white tables. And Aaron is sitting by himself at a table next to a group of Afro-American guys that look like Malcolm X. They all have the little glasses on. Right. They look like they belong to the Islam nation. And Aaron is sitting there, and you know, Mr. Jew, ordering a $28 Kobe beef
with
burger.
My yarmulke.
I saw him sharing, you know, the table, candlelit table, quite bromantically with Derek Anthony.
No, but that was it later. But before Derek got over there and saw that
we were holding hands,
we were drinking and dancing, and Aaron at the club was eating a $28 Kobe beef burger.
It was very good.
With which he had cotton candy for dessert. Now, the cotton candy thing kind of threw me off because I was a little tipsy from the drink. And
thank God for the cotton candy. We wouldn't have those pictures of Nicole.
Yeah, but you know what? I actually thought that I was hallucinating for a minute because I was like, what the fuck is cotton candy doing in the freaking,
but you know,
in the middle of a river lounge?
I thought he was a little bit shortchanged. I thought maybe because, you know, they had the Muslims next to him and, you know, they were combating his faith because the Muslims got a Roman candle in their cotton candy.
I actually was
shooting colored balls into the sky.
Really? I said, why did I not? I said, why did I not receive the Roman candle?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
She said, it's not your birthday.
So, that was a birthday image.
You get the Roman candle on top of the cotton candy for your birthday.
Now, you know, that's an interesting dessert, cotton candy to serve.
It's actually very delicious.
Well, so Aaron finishes his cotton candy. He downs like four shots and then he goes home. That was a real...
It had a protein shake.
Yes.
So when I got home, I did it.
Now, let's go back to the cotton candy between Nicole Ball and
Derek
Anthony.
So that's where the cotton candy candy came from. Right. I just wanted to.
So now, Nicole, you seem to have been enthralled with this cotton candy, and we're using it to all kinds of good use devices.
Whew, let me clear that one up. I haven't had cotton candy in years, but yeah, it was. You know, and it wasn't just with Derek. I think all of us had a little bit of fun with cotton candy. And believe me, the cotton candy between Derek was the closest that I think was shared with anybody.
Yes, I think it was. I actually went, for the record, I didn't have any cotton candy, just want to let you know. But I did have a couple of drinks, and I think you did pour a beer down my throat at one point in the night. Now, but I have to admit that you definitely outdrank everyone there, of our group at least. Is that like a Canadian thing? Or
no.
Are you Irish or something like that?
I don't even go out at home. Like, I might go out 3 times a year at home, and that's it.
Really? She saves it all up for the one time.
Not only did she pound at least, she had to have 10 drinks and then a couple shots when she got home. Not only did she do that, she also, she got home, and you know, she was up as late as we were. She was up early, and she cleaned the whole house. When I got up, when I was up at what, about 1?
She made me breakfast.
Yeah,
made me
breakfast. The house was spotless.
How early do you have to get up to notice that the house is clean at 1?
Well, I actually got up at 12, but by the time I got down there, she had the house immaculate. Clean, I have to say thank you.
She made me breakfast, and I believe she made Jeff.
She made Jeff breakfast too.
Amazing.
Yeah. Eggs are an omelet.
And I had already been there and brought Bonnie her keys back, and
what
left.
Time did you get up?
I was up at 10 o'clock.
You get up early. I don't know how you do.
I think we stayed up later than John.
Yeah, you guys.
You were up at 5:30 in the morning. You guys were still going strong. I was. Just, I came down for a fiberline shake, and then was going to head back upstairs. You know.
Now, Nicole, we want to know what's been so far your highlight of your. Of your, you know, extended stay here in New York and hanging out with us, the Whack Pack, and staying at Dave's house and all of the things that so far have happened. You, bearing in mind, you've only been here 3 days and you have like 8 to go.
I have to honestly say, I've been working with Dave now and you guys behind the scenes for, 2.5 years now, almost 3 years, but I've never got to actually hang out with you guys and get to know you guys as people themselves. I think it's a great, great group of guys. I fit in well. I think we have fun together. And I'm just looking forward to, I don't even care to go and even see any in New York. I just want to stick with what I'm doing and hang around and have a good time.
We're not that good. We'll have to show you New York.
Actually, you know what? I got to just make an announcement here that no one's even saying anything. Tattoo Timmy actually got me 2 tickets to Caligula.
Ooh.
Comp tickets. So maybe I'll take Nicole there.
Nicole will like that. Mostly everybody's
Caligula.
Naked.
Yeah, I think everyone's naked in the thing. It's a Broadway show.
Wait. Nice. Is this based on the original movie?
Yes.
Yeah.
You got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
Because that was like X-rated.
Oh yeah,
it was.
Well, we're trying to get the star, who's a porn star, who she's the main lead. She might come into the studio and do an interview with us next week.
Oh wow.
But I want to get the whole cast out, because Tattoo Timmy's in it, and Roxanne Edwards, who's a female bodybuilder, is in it as well. Wow. I think Tattoo Timmy's running around nude in the whole thing. So not that I really want to see Tattoo Timmy
on Broadway.
Schlong.
Yeah, on Broadway.
Yeah.
It's got to be off Broadway.
It might be a little off Broadway. Okay.
Why only 2 tickets? Why don't we get everybody to go there?
Well, I mean, he was 2 free tickets he got.
Well, why can't he get? We should all go.
Well, he's only like
doesn't have that much pull.
We don't have that much pull. Exactly.
So he's not that naked. Right?
It's a minor role. I've been talking to Timmy. I've been talking to him for a couple years. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I just think it would be really cool if we get the entire Whack Pack to go and be in the audience, and then have us all in the on the show with the cast, and it would be like a
We might get the cast on the day before we go. Actually, that's what I'm hoping. I'm trying for Wednesday, maybe, but who knows?
We could get them to do like a little rendition here on the
right,
desk.
Right, exactly. We can tape it
on the desk.
Kind of make up for the mess Mr. G made on the other end there.
We can make a whole different kind of mess.
Now, John, I want to just announce something. There's some news items I want to talk to, and I have a source in Europe who's been giving me some updates on this new Osterine drug, which is a SARMs, selective androgen receptor modulator. It's a new class of muscle building drugs. They're non-steroidal. I guess they're using them in clinical trials right now, but the Europeans are always getting their hands on everything first.
Right.
And from what my sources say, people are taking anywhere from 50 to 150 milligrams a day of these substances, John, and they're getting very good results. There is more than one out there. There's Osterine, and then there's another drug called Andrine, or S1 they call it, and people have experienced some blurry vision with these and some vision problems. But with Osterine, they haven't been getting these problems, and a lot lot of people are using this now because there's a lot of drug testing in competition, and right now they don't have a test for this stuff.
Well, now let's segue into a tiny little Ask Dave segment, because you know the acronym SARMs, for Selective Androgen Receptor Modulator, has been thrown around quite a bit. In a nutshell, just why don't you give this sort of synopsis of what you know these things do, and how and why they create anabolism?
Well, they just they directly influence the nucleus to increase protein synthesis in the muscle cells without being steroidal in nature. So they're not steroidal compounds per se, but they have the same effect essentially. Now I don't know if anyone's quantified them in terms of what's stronger. I would still think that anabolic steroids are probably stronger, but if you can get the muscle building effects without the androgenic side effects, especially with the case of women, mm-hmm. that's obviously the ideal thing.
I've done S4 before, received a few bottles complimentary, and I was not impressed.
Yeah, but are you sure you got the real stuff?
Well, you never know.
Supplement stuff.
The other ones are available too. I've seen them available.
Yeah, so. But I don't. Who knows if they're real?
Yeah, who knows?
You got to take the real drug. This person is getting them from like a hospital, supposedly.
No, I didn't get it from
the
hospital.
The supplements that have SARMs in them are...
No. I'm not talking about any supplements.
He's talking about like go off of research.
The real deal. Yeah.
Websites he's probably ordering. So
you think this is going to revolutionize bodybuilding and sports? Can these be tested for?
Well, I'm sure they will create a test for in bodybuilding purposes. I don't know if it'll be... I don't know if it's additive. In other words, I don't know if you take SARMs and you combine it with an anabolic steroid if you get an additive effect, or if it's just going to... If you're better off just doing the anabolic steroids, because it's not going to add any more to what you're already doing. Now, in women, this would seem a phenomenal choice, because now women can get muscle building effects without having to worry about messing up their looks.
Right.
So I think for women, it's going to be a lot more significant.
Right.
Just a couple notes also on the IFBB schedule. According to what I read, at least, Flex Lewis is taking off all of 2010. He's not going to be competing.
Wow, a few people are.
Now, the weird thing about that, John, is that, this is a 202 competitor. Okay, I mean, the most he can weigh is 202. He's got to be pretty close to the 202 limit already. What would be the purpose of taking off a year at this point? I don't know.
But he's adding to the list.
I think he weighs something like 190.
Sean Edros is in the studio, and Sean Edros is saying that he's
only 185, so maybe there is some reason for him to put some size on. You want to add something to that, Sean?
Correct. I did say 185. Thank you.
Is that all he competed at?
Yeah, he wants to bring up his back and his chest.
Right, well, that's a good, maybe that's a good decision.
But 15 pounds is a big difference standing next to Kevin English, David Henry.
Yeah, sure it is.
Those are many words coming from the mouth of a man 5 days from a contest. That's pretty good.
You look a little tired, Sean. You having trouble sleeping?
I made the mistake of driving here with the top down.
Oh, boy.
And I'm having a little trouble feeling my hands right now.
Oh, really? It's a little cold out there.
Yeah.
Hey, John, when I got up today, I went to the into my garage. My car was dead.
And so was Derek's.
I know. Isn't that kind of weird? I wonder if someone sabotaged him.
Maybe. Maybe they were trying to get to Nicole.
Don't fuck with a guinea.
I wonder if Derek sabotaged my car after he thought that who knows what I did.
He thought he's getting back into it.
Now, there's a growing list of competitors sitting out the 2010 season. That's
Evan Santopani, too.
Evan Santopani, Trey Brewer. We have quite a few.
I heard Trey Brewer. I think Trey Brewer lost his contract, didn't he?
He lost his BSN contract, I know for sure.
I think that's a smart move on Trey Brewer's part.
Yeah. Well, he's got that MD contract that we got for him.
Yeah, but I'm sure the second that runs out, it'll probably be dropped.
He's still picked up 60 G's for the year. That's a nice vacation to take
there. That's true. Now, there's a study that just came out, John, one of these studies that I hate. They have very little research on. Study in South Korea. What do they know anyway? But that a high salt diet may increase the risk of stomach cancer by 10%.
Yeah.
Now, even the people reported on this said this is a very weak but positive association on a salty diet.
Yeah, no more salt. Definitely no more salt.
I think that these people can prove anything, John, pretty much if they want to.
Anaphylactic shock. Salt.
Yeah, he's been eating salt for 20 years. Now he's going to stop because of this study. But
Vino Viagra.
The thing that really pisses me off, though, John, out there in the news is these. And you know what, Nicole, you could verify this. These nightmare plane flights where you get bumped or you get stuck in a runway.
Lose your luggage.
Tamara, our friend, good Tim Tamara, Nick the Stick's cousin, she got stuck on an airplane for like 5 hours on the runway.
The plane didn't want to move when I got on it. Fucking bitches.
You know, I thought they made a law, John. Aren't these airlines supposed to be penalized money?
Yes.
You know, charged?
Yes.
If they make people sit on the plane for more than 3 hours or something like that?
Actually, I'm waiting for the opportunity when that happens to me.
What are you
Where I'm gonna bust open the exit window and I'm going out the slide.
Yeah, then they're gonna arrest you.
Let them. I'm gonna get arrested and I'm gonna file the biggest lawsuit you ever saw against the airlines.
Yeah. They had you cooped up in an airplane for eight hours.
I think
I think they actually let these people. They gave them the option to get off the flight.
Yeah,
they had to walk on the runway.
No, what they usually do is they get you on the airplane and they make you sit there.
Yes,
you know, and they don't let you out.
I would not be able
to. And now hours and hours go by. That one JetBlue flight that was famous in the news sat on the runway for 8 hours.
That's where the
toilets were clogged up. Everybody was miserable. Kids are crying and screaming, and they won't let you off the plane. I would pop the exit window and get out of the airplane. I would say I'm freaking out. I'm claustrophobic. You guys are making me nuts. And I'd get out, and I would happily get arrested and spend a couple days, relaxing at the expense of the taxpayers.
Ironically, one guy said he had a question on the flight, and the flight attendant started shouting at him, saying, "You're really getting on my freaking nerves. You need to shut the hell up." So yeah, I think even the flight attendants, were getting
my fucking
crazy.
Cousin.
That exit window is going to get popped out really quick in that situation.
What they're supposed to do is if they don't cancel the flight after a couple hours, the airline is supposed to be fined $27,000, $500 per passenger.
They should.
Do the
passengers get the money?
But no one's been obviously.
Of course not.
That's not been instituted at all, even though they have been. Then you know what they gave these passengers?
They gave them peanuts.
They refunded the 126 passengers the flight, and they gave them $100 credit towards another flight. Like, I ever want to fly their airlines again after doing that to me.
It's crazy. I want to know who invented the airline protocol.
I don't know.
It has to be somebody that just has it in for human beings.
$120 for 8 hours?
$120.
And now, refunded
now, Nicole, you lost your luggage for two freaking days. I mean, the fact that they couldn't get our bags from Vancouver, Canada to New York, New Jersey is unbelievable for 48 hours. What was their excuse?
Well, the thing they told me is that they have flights going out every couple hours, but the only one direct flight, which is at night. So their direct flight was still supposed to be in at 10 o'clock, and they didn't get my luggage to me till the following day at about, 3 o'clock? All they reimburse you is $50. You're allowed to go buy everything you need for $50.
At Kmart.
Pretty much, and you can't even get it there for
$50. Jesus.
And then they bump my flight, and I need to phone back and talk to one of the salespeople because a lady at the desk couldn't help and reimburse you about $150 credit.
Who did you fly with?
Air Canada.
Yeah. They lost my luggage too at United.
Really?
Yeah. But only for 12 hours.
It's really annoying. The thing was, she actually had checked her bags, and they verified that it was going to make the flight too.
Well, now that being an international flight, don't you have to claim your luggage your connecting flight, and then they put it back on the plane?
No, because when I took my first flight, it was supposed to be a direct flight into New York
from Calgary to from Vancouver Cal- to Cal. How'd it go?
Calgary to Newark was supposed to be direct.
Uh-huh.
But when I went to Calgary for my direct flight, they overbooked the flight, so they bumped me down, and I had to wait for the next flight, which was a connecting flight. So when I flew into Vancouver, I had to wait around, claim my bags, say, yes, those are my bags, to guarantee them to be onto the new plane.
Okay.
And they still didn't show up for 2 days.
Wow.
I got to bring up one more thing about this whole Canadian-U.S. Customs bullshit, too. I know we talked about it on the TV show, but, I had a kid come over my house just now, and he works for Muscle Tech, and Muscle Tech wanted to fly him in to do his before and after photos, because that's what they do. You know, they get you before you start dieting, and then after you show, they'll fly. This kid has like a shoplifting felony or something like that, like when he was like 18 or 17 years old, and he cannot go to Canada. I mean, how inane is this? Meanwhile, with Mexico, you could just fucking hop over the fence and be in the country. What do you think about this whole, I mean, I know you've had problems in the past too. I mean, what's the purpose of this?
See, well, it definitely works both ways, because even with myself, like we mentioned before, I had an assault charge.
Right.
Even my assault, I was only for 3 years was my penalty.
Mm-hmm.
And even 5 years down the road, U.S. there's two people in front of me, and I got pulled aside to get onto my flight when I first came to Olympia. And one gentleman, there was a couple, the lady had possession of marijuana, and the gentleman had was charged just 8 months previous with possession with intent to sell. So obviously he had a lot of it.
Yeah.
And they waved him right through.
Really?
I went out with just an assault charge, and they had me there for an hour and a half. They held the plane for 20 minutes for me to make the plane, and cursed me up and down. They actually took that one guard aside and told him to calm down.
Really?
Yeah. They took everything out of my bags, everything, and threw it on the floor, and I had to put it all back in.
Well, with an assault charge, what did they think you were doing? Bringing guns into the country? I mean,
I don't know. The thing is,
violent criminal. Think about it. I mean, at least if she was a drug smuggler, all right, check her bags. I mean, you were, you know, you beat some chick up because she slept with your boyfriend. I mean, what?
Yeah, and
I don't get
years
it.
Ago.
Violent criminal.
Meanwhile, the lady with the fucking shoe bomb is fucking walking right past her, you know.
And the guy with the explosives in his underwear.
So if the person declares, if they don't declare, you know, that they have a felony offense or whatever.
No, they run it on your passport.
It comes up
in the computer.
The thing with Canada, if you get charged in Canada after 3 years after your crime done, they wash it away from your criminal record. The U.S. will never wash it away. The U.S. is the one country that never gets rid of anyone's
Tell me about
record.
It.
I know.
You can't go to Canada either.
None of us can. I haven't been.
No, yeah, you wouldn't be allowed to work.
They turn you back at the border.
Yeah, you don't want to just go there and test out the waters.
Yeah, apparently, I know.
I don't even want to go to Canada anymore. After I hear all these crazy stories,
I kind of do.
You do?
What?
John likes Canada.
I have a romantic interest in Toronto.
It works both ways. Like I got questioned and
they're just as bad. Both, yeah, they're both customs are just as bad.
I've been finding Canadian girls really get in.
The funny thing is that Canada is like probably our best ally. You know, I mean, everyone thinks of Canada and the United States as being almost the same country.
They're smoking a lot of weed, eh?
And you can't get it. You can't even get into the freaking country.
Because Canadians don't come and pick strawberries for us. We don't have that symbiotic relationship.
I understand.
Australia is supposed to be the same way, right?
Which is really funny because Australia started as a penal colony.
Yeah, I know.
And they don't let felons
Greg
into...
Titus got into Australia. If he can get in, we can get in.
Because he was a celebrity.
Oh, is that why?
Before he became a murderer.
Well, did you hear about this woman who was the youngest woman to cross the Atlantic Ocean?
In what?
In a raft, basically. She rowed across. 22-year-old woman.
In a raft.
She took a trip across the Atlantic Ocean in a rowboat. Took her 70 days at sea.
In a rowboat?
Yep, in a rowboat. It was a pretty...
ballsy.
It was a pretty interesting rowboat. It was very well equipped. She had internet in there. She was like Twittering while she was like...
I heard about her.
Did you hear about her?
Yeah.
Back up. She used the rowboat, but she supplied it with all of the modern amenities to make it pleasurable.
It looked like a kayak, actually. It was closed in, you know, and she had all that stuff underneath. It still had no power. But she had to row it. She had to paddle it.
It's amazing that she was actually able to not capsize. I heard that was
the seas are in the middle.
And at 22 years old, her 70 days.
Her brother had done it when he also, I think, when he was even younger.
I don't know. I didn't hear about that. Yeah. But
their parents.
She raised it for charity. She raised money for charity. I think the whole family are a bunch of rowers. You know,
I knew this chick who
she rowed 8 to 10 hours a day, according to her.
I knew this chick who actually sailed around the world by herself.
Really?
In a little tiny sailboat.
They like bring and provide her with food. I guess they must have.
I think
like a follow boat.
No. She's all on her own.
So she had enough food for 70 days.
Yep.
In a rowboat.
Yes.
She must not eat a lot.
It's not. It's not that.
Keto, you know, for sure.
Yeah. It's not the rowboat. It's not the image of the rowboat your mind conjures when you say rowboat. It's a highly specialized. Yeah. Is that it right there?
Yeah, you can see the boat.
It's certainly not your basic rowboat.
It almost looks like a regular boat, but it's not big or anything like that. It's just she's got to row it. Now the funny thing about it is she had a GPS. It actually caught on fire on her second to last day of the trip, so she had to kind of go by feel
stars
and maps. And she actually at one point encountered a 20-foot wave. And she thought that the boat might capsize, and she kind of just she got lucky. Supposedly, she was eating freeze-dried meals. She munched on some small plants that she grew on board during that 70 days, and she dug into a watermelon. But as soon as she actually landed, that was the first thing she ate was a watermelon.
Small plants sounds delicious.
Yeah,
I would have smoked.
Maybe she grew some marijuana.
I would have smoked the small plants too. Made the time go by.
She spotted sharks, birds. Actually, she had solar panels. I guess that's what was powering her workstations.
Yeah,
so that's pretty cool.
And she was tweeting and blogging and
blogging.
She said she would update her Facebook with emails on a regular basis. Yeah, so you know, there's always this couple screwballs out there. I don't know what would possess a 22-year-old woman to want to do this, but
Aaron, how come you didn't take a rowboat to New York? This way you could.
I think this is Aaron's girlfriend that did this. Actually, is this didn't Amy? Did she paddle across the thing?
No, Amy would not be.
Is Amy? Amy's not Jewish, right?
No, Amy is not Jewish.
What's her nationality?
Nationality? I guess she's Irish.
Religion? You're a landlocked Jew, though. You don't row, right?
No, I don't risk my life for anything.
I think you're confusing.
Except for massive amounts of drugs.
You're confusing faith and country of origin. This Judaism is not a nationality.
Right, technically it's not.
No. But we still consider it. You're either Hungarian or German.
It's interesting. That's an interesting question.
Hungarian, yeah.
That's an interesting question, though.
Polish.
Some people would disagree with you because, you know, like, that's a problem that a lot of countries had with Jews as living in their countries because they felt like there was no... national pride, you know, like back when there was trials in the like 1890s, I forget the name of the trial, but you know, in France, they had a guy who was on trial. He was an officer. They felt like he was not a Frenchman. He was a Jew. You see what I'm saying? So anyway, no, she's Irish, of Irish descent, so and she's of no organizer.
Is your mother going to make her convert?
Yes, that's an absolute requirement.
Have they been giving her books and stuff like that to read? And is she willing to make this conversion?
Yes, she would be more than willing to make the conversion because she came from no organized religion.
Does that mean she's got to have like a bas mitzvah?
You know, bas mitzvah. Listen to you. She doesn't have to. No, that would not.
You
be
won't have to bar mitzvah.
No, she won't have to.
Do you have to have sex with that sheet with the hole in it?
Does she have to shave her head?
Yes. She will shave her head, and we will have sex through a sheet. But just because we want to, though. It's not a requirement. It's just kinky kind of thing we do.
Right, now we got all that out of the way. Now, is she originally from Texas?
She's from Northern New York.
Oh, really? Where? York? How'd she wind up in Texas?
That's a long story.
Yeah, well, we've had enough of your long stories for one show.
Yeah. She moved to Texas.
No longer than Jimmy pulled the Bulls long short stories.
Exactly. Make a long story short.
No more long stories.
Yeah. So she lives in Texas now. She moved because she got married to a guy that was in the military. He went to Iraq, went crazy. They're divorced, and she's still in Texas.
Right, well, that's great fodder. That's great fodder for your next radio show.
Exactly. Thanks, John.
Now, you know, I'm just looking at Aaron.
Ask the questions. They don't want the answers.
I'm looking at Aaron's got a rice cake with some jelly and peanut butter on it in front of him, and it reminds me of Nicole Ball because...
she made it.
I know, but Nicole's been eating jars of peanut butter, Canadian peanut butter. I don't know. What makes Canadian peanut butter better than American peanut butter?
It just tastes better. We don't have the salt.
Yeah, there's no salt.
There's no salt. In the crock, it's just
it looked very creamy. Yeah, you sure you don't have like sugar in yours?
No, there's no sugar in it. There's no salt in it.
I like salt.
They read that study.
It's only creamy when room temperature. In the fridge, it's not.
Oh. Now, I have to say that Nicole Ball made me a rice cake with peanut butter and jelly on it right before the break. And I was as I was eating it, I was thinking to myself, holy shit, this is the first time a woman has cooked for me.
It's hardly cooking, but yeah.
But I got to tell you, those rice cakes are like loaded with butter. That's not a regular plain rice cake, John.
It's the first time somebody cooked for me since some girl made me a cup of coffee a couple of years ago.
They're not loaded with butter. It's butter flavoring, artificial.
Butter, artificial. Yes. It's still got butter in it.
But they're salt free, so they don't, they pass.
They are addicting. I stuck one.
It was very good, by the way.
But you don't want salt. That'll cause cancer.
Anaphylactic
shock. Stomach cancer, right?
Stomach cancer.
Now, while Nicole's been eating peanut butter all weekend, Aaron probably has the worst eating habits I've ever seen.
Let's talk about Aaron
of anyone out there.
Let's talk about the matzo and the Pop-Tart sandwiches.
PJ Braun told me that Aaron is the worst eater of all time. I didn't believe him because, you know, we were sitting in a steakhouse and we were eating, you know, nice steak and some appetizers. And
lobster.
But then Aaron orders, what did he have? Like, he had a dessert and then he ate, like, I think two other people's desserts. And then I realized that he has a sweet tooth. Is that correct?
I do have a sweet tooth. And I don't think that my diet's the worst ever. I mean, you know.
Listen, Aaron, Pop-Tarts are not a food group.
You can make fun of my Pop-Tarts. They're good. They're tasty.
We went to the diner and I had, like, you know, the red snapper and he had cheese blintzes. You know,
By the way, that was the second time that day he ate at that diner.
He told me he loves that diner. I know. He likes the big portions.
I actually got a recommendation from Evan Santapani. He recommended that when I make the Pop-Tarts next time, and I haven't had an opportunity yet, to butter the Pop-Tarts. And that will be my next.
I don't believe Evan Centipede has had a Pop-Tart in the last 10 years.
I think it's been a while, but he said
that he's telling you from back in his fat days.
Yeah, it may be, but he seemed very excited about it when he told me. So I think he would still like to have one. He just chooses.
Vicariously living for you.
He was very excited about the butter and the Pop-Tarts.
Do you remember my recommendation?
You actually suggested Nutella, which I'm a big fan of. Nutella Pop-Tart sandwich.
Yes.
Now you got to keep in mind, though, that I'm not just eating the Pop-Tarts. Generally, I do have the Pop-Tarts with a protein shake.
Yeah. Oh, okay, that's good. At least you're getting your protein in. Now, you're eating, what do you say? You're eating like 1,000 grams of protein a day?
No, I don't eat quite that many grams of protein.
40,000 calories total.
Yeah. No, I'm trying to, I make sure that I eat enough protein per meal. So I'm shooting for around 60 to 80 grams of protein per meal 8 times a day.
Because you are looking bigger than I've ever seen you before.
It's huge.
You know, you probably
I'm not that fat. I'm not that fat.
Well, you have probably, you know, I'd say 17% body fat, probably. Yeah.
17%.
Let's see. Pick up your shirt.
I'm going to take off my clothes right here?
Yeah. We make Diego do it all the time.
It's part of the
workout. You don't have to take it off. Just, you can just lift it up your shirt.
Don't be a shy Jew.
Oh, no, he's got some abs. He's actually, I take that back, Aaron. You're looking better than I thought.
But
you probably get the big Jew ass, though, right? As Ron Norman would say.
He's
the biggest Jew I've ever seen.
Check your ass out. I don't really want to look at your ass, to tell you the truth. It's not that big. No, I have a small ass.
Biggest Jew I ever seen.
Yeah. So I'm in the mid 270s.
Maybe you should go into wrestling. I think you should be in WWE wrestling. Maybe I can get Triple H to get you.
Yeah, the Bear Jew. I'm not very coordinated, dude.
Oh, you're not.
I'm not very coordinated.
Bear Jew.
The bear.
Triple H versus a bear Jew for the WWE SmackDown Championship.
That's right.
Yeah. So I could picture that. Now, Nicole, what's your favorite cheat food when you like to go crazy?
Probably homemade burgers.
Homemade burgers?
Yeah.
How boring. I've been watching you stuff some junk down your face this past couple weeks.
That is what I like for a meal, Dave. You asked.
That's your favorite cheat meal? That's not a cheat meal. That's like a regular contest diet meal for you. Burger.
No.
You could eat red meat.
No, Pop-Tarts.
He's too arguing.
But when I do my burger, that's made with like bacon and cream cheese and salt and mushrooms.
All right. You didn't specify that.
That sounds
and
good.
And barbecued.
Now, I noticed that you bought, there's a couple of tubs of cream cheese in my my refrigerator. What was that for?
Well, that's for when we make supper on Sunday.
Oh, so you and John are cooking Easter Sunday next week.
It's going to be, so we're kind of going to do a little bit of a cook-off. So no, we won't tell you.
It's going to be like Iron Chef. We should set you up on either side
like
of the
secret ingredient.
And I can film it. We'll see who, you know, we can have like a, we'll time it and stuff like that.
John will be chopped.
Are you doing anything are you doing anything for Passover on Monday, John?
Yes, we're passing over that
I'm shaving my head again. When's Passover? What's the date of that?
It'll be on Monday the 29th.
Oh, this Monday?
Yeah, this Monday.
I'm making fish bowls.
Tomorrow.
Yeah. Which is the day of the show, actually.
Yeah, tomorrow.
Also, happy Passover, everyone.
Shabbat Shalom. Very nice.
Now, Passover, have you always had the Seders every Passover? Over growing up?
Yes, we always have a Seder.
Are you bringing us RX muscle embroidered yarmulkes?
I should have. I might next time I come.
Yeah. Make them fitted for John's head.
You could have like a large one. It could be almost a beanie.
I'll wear it every freaking day. What would your family normally cook for Passover?
Well, normally we had until my grandfather passed away not too many years ago. We would go to my grandparents' house and they'd do a whole traditional Seder where everybody sits. You know, we had around 40 people and they'd sit around a big table and my grandfather would lead the Seder meal, and it's a
drink Manischewitz wine.
Manischewitz, yes. Actually, you have to have a certain amount of glasses of Manischewitz. It's required. You know, you drink the glass throughout the meal,
right?
And I might be wrong, unfortunately, but I think it's 4 glasses of wine.
Oh, really?
So everybody, my mom would love that because she'd get a little buzz on by the end. You know, everybody. It's required.
The funny thing that Aaron told me was that when he met Amy brought home a bottle of Manischewitz one day for him, and he thought she was doing that because he was Jewish.
She's going to be mortified by the story.
She said that, oh no, this is my favorite wine. She goes, it's some Arabic wine. You see the writing on the label? And he's like, that's Hebrew. So I got to be mortified.
What kind of foods did she make? Did you have like kishka and stuff, derma? For Passover?
Yeah.
It's usually there's a certain food you have. Obviously, with the matzo ball soup.
Right.
It's usually in courses. And then you have an egg soup where it's literally like eggs.
I like that soup. That's awesome.
It's like, not like egg drop.
Egg noodles, aren't they?
Well, usually you'll do an egg, a hard-boiled egg soup with like a kind of a salty water, and then next you have obviously you have matzo. throughout the meal. You know, they break it apart and they, they hide the afikoman. Have you ever went to a pastor?
Yeah, I've gone to plenty of pastors. Yeah.
So they have those.
Can you do a little chanting for us? Can you chant a little bit for us?
Would you like a prayer or something?
Yeah, yeah, say something.
Baruch ata na Eloheinu melam hamotzi lahem in horetz. That's the prayer for the bread.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. over the rice cake.
Over the rice cake. Yeah, is that leavened?
That's an unleavened rice cake.
Okay, all right. Just checking, making sure you're sticking seeing the Passover tomorrow.
Who knew the story about the unleavened bread and the Exodus?
I have
and
to
all
admit,
that.
I was very impressed over dinner on was Friday night at the Blackstone Steakhouse. John was the one to tell everybody that the reason people eat the Jewish people eat the matzahs is because when they left Egypt, they put it on their back so they didn't have time to let it rise. So it's unleavened bread because literally they didn't have time to.
They were fleeing the Pharaoh.
Well, my partner, the half Jew over here, thought it had no yeast in it.
He thought it was no yeast. It's yeastless bread.
But you know what the funny thing is? This is why I got confused. I'm going to give you my explanation because I always ask, well, what constitutes, you know, matzah?
Leavening? Oh.
You know, and they said, well, you just can't have yeast in it. So I thought that they just didn't have the yeast available back then, and that's what the deal was.
Well, see, but if you've ever made bread, you know, Nicole probably knows this, it takes a lot of time because you have to proof the yeast, which brings it to life, and then you have to make the dough, and then it has to rise. So it takes a day.
So how do those bread makers work so fast then?
Because you dump it all in, and they use quick rapid rise yeast, and you dump it all in there, and
didn't
have
that back.
But that bread tastes like shit. There's no comparison.
It's not the same. It's not the same.
No comparison.
Yeah, they had to get the hell out of Egypt, so they just did what they had to do.
Right.
Moses parted the Red Sea, and they took.
Listen,
I can only keep the sea parted for all the 15 minutes.
What about our bread? What about our bread?
Forget the bread.
Aaron's family was out way before he had to part the Red Sea. They knew. They knew ahead of time. Right. They said the businesses are closing down. Get the fuck out of there. We'll go to New Orleans.
Right. We can make bread when we get there.
Yeah, right. That's why Aaron's not following the Passover tradition here. So, all right, so what else would you have? What other food would you have there?
Well, after those first few courses, you know, my grandmother would usually have like a brisket or something like that. You know,
brisket.
Yeah, something like that. And then you go up and, you know, get your own food and bring it back to the table. Stuff like you have kugel.
Noodle kugel.
Raisin. I prefer the raisin.
That's like a dessert item, though, isn't it?
The noodle pudding. That's what I, it was great.
Now, it's not a dessert. It's usually with the meal.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah. It is a meal, but
it's sweet, though. It is sweet.
I found it to be a dessert.
Yeah, it was very good.
There's an awful lot of dishes and silverware involved here because you got dairy and then you got meat.
You have people that usually my grandparents would have people that would do the serving for you, you know? So they'd
slaves. Slaves. From the South, right?
We didn't actually call them slaves.
They call them goyim.
Yeah.
Yes. No. Actually, interestingly enough, my grandmother still to this day employs the same housekeeper that she's had for 60 years.
Wow. There's Ben White's grandmother. Yeah. Tell me.
Ben White's grandmother. Exactly. He told me thank you very much for helping.
He used to pick cotton on your plantation that you guys had growing up.
Let me ask you a question, Aaron. Did she let him know that, like, you know, she can leave at this point?
She doesn't even know she can still vote, Jeff.
The whole Lincoln's whole term was like obliterated from the history book, and didn't know there was an Emancipation Proclamation.
Yeah, she doesn't know that.
Kept that a little bit of a secret. Minor detail.
Miss
Jake. There was no president named Lincoln. That was the chauffeur.
So next time, maybe next year, we'll do a RX Bustle Passover.
Yeah, I think we got to invite Aaron. I mean, Carl Lenoir, though, too.
Oh,
he's half
definitely.
Jew.
Yeah, I got to.
Actually, technically, Carl's not a Jew at all.
Oh, no?
Well, because he's completely Italian, but he married his wife was Jewish.
Oh, his kids are half Jewish.
No, his kids are completely Jewish.
If your mother's Jewish, then you're Jewish.
Yeah, but they're not technically.
No, technically, they completely are. Yeah. His wife is Jewish, so those kids are Jewish.
All right, let's cut the religion out.
Jewish,
I'm Jewish. I know, but I'm taught. Look, my mother was Jewish, but I wasn't raised religious, so I'm half Italian and half Jewish, I tell people.
If there was an SS officer
in
here,
that is absolutely an impossible statement. You can't be half Jewish and half Italian.
Yes, you can.
You can't.
Yes, you can, because the Jewish
is a faith. It's not a nationality.
Aaron, tell them in our day and age, it's almost like a nationality, isn't it?
Where was your mother from? Was she from Poland?
My mother was from, the family was from Hungary,
like
Russian.
They were Russian Jews.
But but still.
Russian, Russia.
Yeah, but
so then you're half Russian and half Italian.
But you're
Jewish, half Catholic and
Jewish,
half Jewish.
Right. Jewish becomes like almost like a nationality, though, yes, in a sense.
I disagree.
Like Aaron was saying, there's not that many Jews left. So
there's 12 million Jews left.
How can there be not enough Jews left when they only will marry and hang out with each other?
No, they don't have kids because they only have one.
You'll find that that's really not true.
Oh, really?
Although that's what the parents usually might want. I think that what's
happening. Look at Aaron. He's breaking the faith right here with his
girlfriend. She's making her convert.
Yeah, that
doesn't count, though.
So what's happened? There's only 12 million Jews. I was telling David,
there's only 13 million blacks.
No.
What are you, crazy?
Are you insane?
Yeah, you mind.
There's 13 million blacks in New Orleans.
What were you smoking last
Chocolate
night?
Chocolate City, you crazy?
13%.
13%. No, there's more Jews in New York.
I think he was grinding that OxyContin before this.
On the break, that's what he was doing.
How can that be? There's only 12 million Jews? You've only repopulated half since the Holocaust?
No, yeah, exactly. No, there was
the Spanish people have 10 kids. The Jews have one. That's
because
why.
Because they got to use that fucking sheep. I wouldn't bang her either.
How do you use that goddamn
thing? If you looked at some of these wives, you'd use the sheet too.
I put the sheet over my fucking head. But they got to stick their schmeckle through that hole.
You know how many people we're pissing off right now?
I'm going to get a million Jewish hate mail from this one.
We are going to get
so many. I'm here to defend.
Do they have Jewish people in Canada?
Yes, they have.
Yes, they do.
Really?
Real ones?
Oh, William Shatner's from Canada.
Do they have to use the sheet in Canada?
I honestly don't know much.
What's that sheet called?
There is no sheet.
There is a sheet with a fucking hole in it.
In Canada, they use sheets at the Hutterite colony.
Trust me, I have no sheets with any holes.
The Orthodox Jews have to use a sheet with a hole in it because the guy can't see the woman naked.
No. I believe I've seen one. I believe that you're talking about Hasidic Jewish people.
Oh, is that it?
Hasidic Jews? Small sect. That's like 1%.
It's an extremely small hole, too.
I don't know about that either. I don't even believe all of them do that. I can't remember. I'm going to have to look it up. Because I know my mom and dad have no sheets.
It is the Hasidic. They can't even dance with women.
No, that is true. Within Orthodox Judaism, when you are married.
Let's carry Aaron around on a chair.
We can't carry her on a chair.
She's fucking big. Carry Nicole then, yeah.
No, you can't carry a woman on a chair.
Why not?
Too many fucking rules in your religion.
The bat mitzvahs do that.
Okay, so at a wedding, if it's an Orthodox wedding, the guys dance with the guys and the girls dance with the girls. They're separate.
Makes sense to me.
They're separate. Also, in synagogue, the guys will sit separate from the women as well because they don't. The idea is that they don't want to distract the men. The women sit way in the back. Right. Men sit in the front.
Right.
And the men don't want to be distracted by the women.
Distracted from what? Listening to the fucking prayers?
God.
That joke you told was hysterical. Which about the couple is going to get married and they go to the rabbi and they say, you know, listen, this is a contemporary wedding. We're sort of like contemporary people. And we want to know if we can, if the men can dance with the women at the wedding.
Yeah.
And he goes, absolutely forbidden. And then you go into this whole litany of all this kinky sexual stuff that they can do.
Right.
That they can do. And then at the end you say,
Can
we do it standing up? You go, oh no.
Too close to dancing.
That may lead to dancing.
Right. They can't dance together. You can do anything about dance together. Anyway.
You can hang from a freaking ceiling with a midget, and that's okay. But you can't dance. You can't stand up.
Speaking of midgets, Mr. G was his usual out of control self at the Bros vs. Pros challenge, and he's great. I always said Mr. G is great in large crowds because he always has good crowd control potential. I don't know how he does it. He tends to psych them up and get them yelling. It's when you get him in a small like area like the studio here that he's like a caged animal. Like if we brought a lion in here, the thing would tear the place apart. But you bring a lion out to like the beach, he can run around and he's not going to he's not going to harm anything. That's Mr. G cannot be kept in confined spaces.
Certainly not in here. He's not allowed in here anymore.
I think that's the
problem. He really was good. I mean, he was really good. He's surprisingly good with a bunch of people. He gets people.
He's great
really
in a crowd.
Pumped up,
he has
really
that energy.
He does have energy.
Yeah, he's great.
Dave gave him the microphone and asked him to do his intro.
Yes.
And man, he has none of that thing like most people have that tells you like this is embarrassing. Don't do it.
Nothing's embarrassing.
No filter. Exactly.
Yeah, like you have everybody has like an inner policeman that says like don't do that. That's stupid. You look dumb.
Yeah.
He's got none.
Maybe Jeff, can you do Can you just for the listeners?
I don't have the energy.
You don't reenact it, Jeff.
Oh, Jeff hasn't slept for like all night. He was up all night, as we knew that he would be.
No, but I agree. Mr. G was making the crowd scream when they sounded dead in one section. He just livened it up, man. He's great with the crowd,
and he's good about promoting the sponsors too.
Yes, very good. Yeah,
even if he has to make up anything, brutal alchemy for a freaking shirt.
Anyway, and we have to say, remember that Diego made sure he wore his multi-patched, sponsored, warm-up jacket.
Ben White even tried it on.
He wore it for my interview with him. John, are we interrupting you?
My son keeps calling me, and I'm wondering if he's all right.
Hey, Dad, I'm on level 72. Dad, when are we going to the buffet?
I want some water, Dad.
We're going to be done in 1 minute.
This has been a whirlwind weekend. I got to tell you, between Thursday night coming to the studio doing the TV show, Friday night going to dinner with Frankie Matassa, Saturday we had the Bros vs. Pros. Saturday night was the after party. Sunday we're in here for the radio show, and then tonight we're going to be going to the buffet so we can watch my father crack some crab legs and suck those down. And then you'll be leaving with PJ Braun.
Yeah, back to his house tonight, and brings me to the airport tomorrow. I got to thank John Romano also for his hospitality. I stayed with John. John stepped away for a minute.
John left
the studio.
His son needs water.
Yeah. Tell us that story.
Okay,
John's son is addicted to video games. Right?
So I'm at John's house, and let me just say, thank John very much for his hospitality. It was actually a very nice staying with John, and I had a good time, and it was fun.
I think we bonded a little bit.
Yeah, we did bond.
That was good for us.
Yes, it was.
In a very masculine way.
Right. No homo.
No homo. Yeah.
So I'm at John's house, and I believe John was on the computer or something, and Max was playing his video games, and I hear Max yell, "Dad, Dad, Dad!" And John's
Dad.
Oh, sorry. And John's like, "Yeah, buddy," and he says, "Dad, I need water. I need water."
He's like, "Hold on." His voice just can't go that high. He's a real man.
Hold on, buddy. And he's, "I need water, Dad."
God forbid he stops playing.
You gotta make sure you get past the next level.
God forbid he stops playing that game for 1 second.
So John goes to get some water.
Did he ask if he needed ice or something?
Yeah. So, "Did you want ice, buddy? Do you want ice?"
And what'd he say?
"I want the water, Dad. Hurry up. Hurry up with that water.
Stop wasting my time. Bring it already."
What does he think he's getting? If he's not well hydrated, is his skills going to deteriorate?
He gets dehydrated.
The funniest part with Max was, I was trying to, Max was playing video games, and I honestly hadn't seen or played many video games in years, so I wanted to check out what he was doing. Yeah. And he was playing some skateboard game. So I kind of walked to the door. Yeah. Okay. So he's playing the skateboard game, and I noticed he wasn't wearing his headphones like he normally wears when he talks to other people and stuff.
Right.
So I kind of walked behind him, and I said, "What's this game you're playing?" He said, "A skateboard game." And I said, "Oh, you're not wearing your headphones. You're not talking to anybody." He goes, "I don't want to talk to anybody right now."
including Aaron Singerman.
Obviously, I'm like,
"You're interrupting his concentration." Aaron.
I'm like, "Oh, okay." And I walk out of the room. I'm like,
but he warmed up later. He was
He was very nice. Very nice. You just can't interrupt a video game.
No.
It was
a hierarchy of importance.
Very serious business. Yeah,
very serious business.
He said it perfect too. He's like, "I don't want to talk to anybody right now."
Well, this coming Saturday, John, we have the New York Metropolitan Championships, Big Steve Weinberger's first show of the year.
Sean Andros' show.
Sean Andros will be entering that show as well, and he'll be making his 2010 debut. You know, he didn't make it on stage in 2009. He had a nervous breakdown, right before he started working for us, and then now he's
fine.
He's much more functional now. Yeah, exactly. So we'll all be there cheering him on. He's probably going to have at least 50 people there.
Oh, at least.
In his corner rooting for him. Nicole is actually staying just to see Sean the extra week.
How cool is that? Nicole. I mean, that's really awesome.
He looks good too. I saw him yesterday. Yeah. How do you think he looks, Dave?
I think
give us the critique.
I told him if he's got to suffer for the next 2 days just to suck out that little last bit of fat on his ass.
He's got a tiny waist. My God.
Yeah, he's got a very small waist.
Very small.
I have a picture here, and it wasn't very tiny about 6 months ago. So it's amazing how he's come down.
The fact that he's still functional and he's still
highly functional.
It actually seems like he's in a better mood.
Highly functional. Yeah, he likes to die. I think he likes to suffer. He's got this built-in
you know, maybe he feels better. You know, when you look better, sometimes you feel like, you know, maybe he's got more confidence and happier because he looks
better. You get, when you diet, you get very anal retentive about everything. Well, he's like that anyway, so when he does diets, it's like he's much
feels
more...
Feels like he's on track?
Well, yeah, I think he's just more productive because, you know, he's so focused. You know, when you don't have to worry about eating all the time, and you actually can think about other stuff, you know, to distract you, and so he's good like that.
Are we going to end this show this century sometime?
You can leave if you want. I mean, it's
like 19 hours we've been going.
No, it hasn't even been 2 hours.
People don't get paid enough.
It's like 7 o'clock. I missed like nine meals.
I've never heard, Aaron, in all the shows that you've done radio shows, have you ever heard anyone, one of the hosts complain about that the show is too long?
Unfortunately, Carl occasionally does complain.
Yeah, but that's because your shows go 3 hours.
Jeff, where are we at now? 14 hours?
No.
I mean, this is going on forever.
We're actually less than 2 hours, John.
You see?
Oh, John.
All I know is I left home at 1:45, and it's 6:45 now.
Dave, John was in a rush to get out of your house, too.
I know. Yeah, he's very antsy.
3 minutes again? Yeah, all right, well, 3 minutes?
Very antsy today. I don't know what
unfortunately,
this
I doubt any of you guys will ever have children, so you won't ever have to worry about this.
But when you have a child, you have to worry about them. You know,
Nicole's got big dogs.
We have 7 of them.
Yeah, I know. You have some really biggies. Not only does she have a big dog, they have like their own house to live in, right?
Well, we have a 3-car garage, and you know, we get -40 in Canada, and we park our vehicles outside so the dogs can have the garage.
That's very nice. That's
awesome.
And tell our listeners what your boyfriend bought your dogs for your birthday.
Well, see, I don't get nothing for my birthday, but the dogs they get quite a bit more.
Well, anything is better than nothing.
Well, absolutely.
Listen, you got to listen to what they got, John.
Right, so, well, the first dog that we got, we tell them our kids, but the first dog that we got, he's from California, so he likes the heat, of course. So he got a fireplace for Christmas last year.
Wait. A fireplace.
Yes. Yeah.
Like so, a functional fireplace.
You know, a gas one, so we can turn it on. They can still have the heat, but not
can he turn it on himself?
No.
He's not that gifted.
And then we have another puppy we bought, and he gets distracted really easy. Like he wasn't brought up in the best of home. Mm-hmm. So we always have to have noise on for him. So Jeff went and bought him a 42-inch flat screen TV.
Jeff's watching like a black and white 14-inch TV.
Could have bought him like a little AM radio instead.
Jeff's watching his iPod.
They have a stereo too.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And then
sounds nicer than my apartment.
The other dog, he's my baby boy. He's an English setter. He just loves to cuddle. He'll just make you giggle every time you look at him. But he will lay on the couch. Like my dad babysits our dogs when we go. Yeah. And dad seriously wants to stuff him. Like he said, he would make a better monument because then he doesn't have to force him up to go pee.
Oh, he'll just lay on the couch all day.
On the couch for
and that's
10
what you bought him.
Straight.
You bought him a couch, right?
He got a leather couch.
It's pretty good, right? They made out pretty good, the dogs.
He wants to stuff him?
No, my dad wants to because when he babysits him, he lays on the couch. And my dad literally has to pick him up to take him out to go pee because he won't go. He will sit on that couch for 10, 12 hours straight.
I was just wondering, Nicole, you have a tattoo on the inside of your wrist there. What does that say?
Baby girl.
I thought, where does that come from?
It's just August. I had a Rottweiler for almost 11 years. And we tried to keep her alive for 8 hours in and out, or 8 hours, 8 months in and out of surgeries, months after months.
Wow.
And it gets to a point where, you know, you have to let them go, you know, whether it's a dog, sure, a child, you know, yeah, you can't keep medicine, keeping them alive. It's not fair.
Sure.
And she passed.
Oh, I'm breaking her up. Right. Yeah.
She passed away in my arms in August.
Wow. Okay.
So, yeah, so I got a tattoo in memory.
Was that her name? Baby girl?
Baby girl.
Well, that's baby girl, we're thinking about you, so. Just to make a nice sentimental ending to the show here. Yeah. You know? I feel like Barbara Walters. I got it.
Really?
I must be getting good.
I'm way too soft over my dogs.
That's good. That's great. See, John, dogs can provide a lot of
dogs are better than kids in my
opinion. They don't talk
but I love Max.
It's great to have someone else's kid, for a couple hours.
I'll take my kid.
I'll be Max's uncle, though.
Yes. You are Max's uncle. Oh, right. All of you are.
Yeah, that's true.
So how many dogs did you come into the relationship with? You all had all 7?
No, Jeff had a dog at the time, and that was it.
So you had 1, now you have 7, so you've got 6 more.
All by cesarean,
They quail hunt these dogs. They catch quail.
Down to South Texas, and Mariposa Ranch for 3 months out of the year, usually just after Christmas, and gone for most of our winters.
Oh, okay.
You didn't go this year, though, did you?
No, we didn't go at all this year.
Wow, that's like
just because work was really really slow. I didn't have to come and take work in the oil field when it came. So gotcha. We just stayed back.
Where in Texas?
In South Texas, Mariposa.
Okay.
South Darius, right close to the border.
They're like all the way south.
Yeah, like 9 hours south.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a 40.
People think Texas is like, you know, everyone's near each other.
People
but
have no idea.
It's far. I mean, even Austin, Texas from Dallas is, what, 3-4 hours, right?
Texas is, it takes 2 J's to drive through Texas.
Yeah, it's like literally almost 40 hours for us to drive down there.
They drive from Canada, too, yeah.
That's crazy. No, Texas is enormous. To go from Houston to, like, the other side of Texas, you're looking at, 12 hours. Easy.
Yeah.
Straight driving.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you guys both for coming into the studio. Aaron, I know you came all the way from Texas. And
it was a pleasure.
And you got a radio show out of the deal.
Yeah, a new radio show.
Isn't that
who would have thought?
Who would have thunk, yeah. Who would have thunk it? And I want to thank you for participating in the Bros vs. Pros Challenge, Nicole. And we will probably have to schedule a rematch at some point because I know you you want revenge.
I need it.
Yeah, I need it. Well, John, we're at that time again at the end of another episode of Heavy Muscle Radio here. I want to thank Aaron Singerman and Nicole Ball for coming into the studio. Until next week, remember, with Heavy Muscle Radio,
the truth hurts.
Heavy Muscle Radio is a presentation of RxMuscle.com, the truth in bodybuilding. Tune in next week at the same time for another round with Dave Palumbo and John Romano, only on Heavy Muscle Radio.